Hello, welcome to the LinkyCast. This is the Job Hub Community's Guild Wars 2 podcast for the week of November 15th. Sorry. I hate you so much. Why did you just break up laughing?
I saw a funny video.
I nailed it, and you just ruined everything.
I thought it was because it was the most emphasis we've heard at the introduction in the past month.
There was actual emotion to that introduction. I can handle it. I'm sorry.
Can we just keep going with this?
Yeah, no, this is good. This is good. Joining me today, I'm Self-Aggressed Cynic, is Durin.
Guys, the world has ended. Or at least for Final Fantasy XIV.
What? What are you talking about?
Yeah, by the way, they had their end of the world event where a meteor crashed into the world. and they're relaunching with their Realm Reborn at some point in the future.
So that's great. That's my
It didn't end with an Inception music. It ended with a comment.
No, it actually ended with a server crash about 10 minutes before it was supposed to end.
And
then the timer ran out. Everyone got a cutscene.
Oh, that's sad.
So, you know, a Square Enix MMO.
Thurbleton!
Greetings and salutations. What's up?
You gave up on that pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Woo! Also joining us, sadly, is Noobarama. Moving on.
Wait, what the fuck you mean,
What have you been up to this week, Noob?
I've been doing stuff. Yeah. Like anime.
What anime are you watching now?
Anime?
There's this really great anime called Boku no Pico. I highly suggest everyone check it out.
What's it about?
It's
just hentai?
Maybe.
Last week we had the stunning revelation that you go to sleep with your cock in your hands.
I've been watching. I'm not surprised. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's like Chun Ibyo.
You could still be speaking Japanese, I would believe. Anything you said. Sure.
Demo koi ga shit I. Yeah.
What are you saying?
Noob, I believe that's pronounced yaoi.
Oh, it's
I thought it was YOLO.
C H U U N I B Y O U space D E M O space capital K O I space G A space S.
Why is only one word of those capitalized?
Oh, okay, so anime.
Yeah,
anime. Right. Right.
So you've been watching shitty anime.
Hey, fuck you. It's good.
Hey, I heard S-H-I-T in there, so
yeah,
you know, accurate.
It's shit as in it's like scat anime where like the girls eat shit. No?
Thurbleton, what have you been up to this week?
How can you love someone when you can't even eat their poo?
Just playing a lot of Guild Wars, leveling alt. I've been working on a book. I haven't finished it. I'm actually about like a third into it, but...
Oh, which one? Wait, no. Are you writing a book or are you reading
a book? No, I'm reading a book.
What the fuck?
All right.
It's just more like I don't have a lot of time to set aside for reading, but it's called The Pentagon's New Map.
Hey, that sounds cool. What's it about?
Cool. It's basically just about how we screwed up with... We didn't see 9/11 coming, and it's not like a conspiracy book, but it's written by a guy who worked at the Pentagon for over a decade.
Right. Is it Jeff Boss that wrote it?
No, a guy named Thomas Barnett.
Okay.
But like, whereas everyone else at the Pentagon's job is to care about war, his job is to care about the transition from war to peace.
Okay.
Yeah. So
that sounds really cool.
He has a few other books that
I want
to read.
That's like the first legitimate book I've heard from you guys.
Well,
it's the first book I've ever said I've read.
Yeah, exactly.
No. Yeah, I'm just out of the group. You guys are making me feel like podcasters.
Literate as fuck, because I'm the only one that doesn't read books.
I don't want to... spoilers, Durin. You're as literate as fuck.
Spoilers, Durin, you have kids, so if you try reading, they'll just grab the book out of your hands and then just try to eat it.
Yeah, probably.
There's that.
Food.
Yeah.
Well, no, because I have a Kindle, so he would just try to poke at it constantly.
The screen's probably cracked by now, isn't it?
No. It's far out of his reach. Well, he's actually okay with electronics. He plays with my phone and my wife's phone all the time.
Oh,
okay. He actually, on my wife's phone, she has a Windows Phone 7. He actually knows how to go into her Xbox account and scroll down to the games and go into the game that he wants to get within that.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
He's 2 years old.
Wow. Holy shit.
I swear to God, he's going to be one of those kids that just like take one of your credit cards and just start spending like $1,500 on Xbox Live points.
I'm waiting
on
for
the news.
Man.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. good on you, Thurbleton, because you're reading a book that is actually a book.
Well, I made a start on Destroyerman.
Like Shades of Grey or something that Shadik was reading.
No, I made a start on Destroyerman and hated it and put it down.
How is your novel, Noob, on 50 Shades of Green? You worked on that, right?
Yeah. Oh. He is.
50 Shades of Green as in like gangrene. Yes. I got a terrible infection last week. It's kind of terrible. But that's out of...
I thought you got hit by a plane.
I did get hit by a plane. And then it gave me an infection. I got gangrene after I got hit by a plane. I had to spend...
Anything else you've been
hours.
Doing this week, Doubleton?
What have you been doing this week?
Me?
I haven't been doing anything else.
Okay. Let's see. I've caught up on a bunch of martial arts movies I hadn't seen.
I saw movies.
What did you see?
I saw... I rewatched Eastern Promises, and then I watched Letters from Iwo Jima.
You're so fucking depressing.
I like that doesn't involve war.
What Eastern Promises? Have you not seen Eastern Promises?
No, I haven't seen Eastern Promises.
No.
Okay. Basically, it's like the Russian mafia in England. And it's just a really great, great movie. Great movie. Okay. It's David Cronenberg.
I guess what I should say is do you do anything that doesn't involve war and or politics?
Fuck. It has nothing to do with politics. It's like more drama, psychological kind of thing. It's David Cronenberg and Viggo Mortensen. So it's like History of Violence. Except
okay.
Tattoos. All right.
Interesting.
And Letters from Iwo Jima made me sort of... It made me teary-eyed, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iwo Jima is a really good one.
Iwo Jima is supposed to be really great. I haven't seen it.
It's so much better than Flags of Our Fathers.
That's the problem. Yeah, I watched Flags of Our Fathers, and I was like, I am never watching one of these movies again. And I put down.
You have to watch Letters from Iwo Jima because it's a lot more...
Iwo Jima is a lot better.
It's good.
It's very
as opposed to Flags of Our Fathers.
Well, if I recall correctly, Cynic, you've never seen Schindler's List either, though.
No, but I've seen The Pianist. So,
so you said you've seen The Penis.
Well, I'd hope so. I am male, but yeah, no. Apparently, The Penis
that has
is
to do
worse.
With seeing penises.
Your own noob. It's such an easy, so like it doesn't require a large leap of logic for that. Anyway, yeah. Apparently, The Pianist is worse than Schindler's. But the stuff I've seen from Schindler's on YouTube looks way worse than Penis. I don't know. Where to go with
well,
that?
Well, worst as in, like, how?
I might be horribly misremembering this, but dude in wheelchair getting tipped out a window, for example, isn't that from Schindler's?
Oh, I feel like okay. I recognize that from
Okay, when you said worst, I thought you meant, like, not as good a movie.
No.
Even though I haven't seen The Pianist, I was still going to disagree.
Yeah, no, I've heard Schindler's is good.
Watching Schindler's List is like you're not going to have a good time.
Yeah,
but it's one of those movies I feel like everybody should probably still watch.
Maybe
like you should, like everybody should experience that movie.
Yeah, I'm not saying Letters from Iwo Jima is the best movie in the world. It's just it's better than Flags of Our Fathers.
Oh God, Flags of Our Fathers, that movie.
No, like independently without comparing it to that bad movie, it's a really great movie.
Yeah, it's decent.
Like it's not even as much about war as it is just about.
I am. It's not shitting
commentary,
you.
Commentary on like the Japanese at the time.
Like when I say that up until Flags of Our Fathers, I used to watch every movie I started to completion, and Flags of Our Fathers was the final movie that I maintained that policy for. I'm telling the absolute truth. It broke my continuing faith in hey maybe this movie has some redeeming qualities. That movie was so fucking bad. I'm now able to tap out of a movie before it's finished. That's how bad it is.
I also try to watch Iron Sky.
I loved Iron Sky. That was so good.
What the fuck is wrong with
you? It was so good.
It was the most boring, stale movie I've ever seen. It wasn't offensive. It was just boring.
So good.
Just to be sure, Iron Sky is the one where the Germans secretly went to the moon.
Nazis on the moon.
Yeah.
It is so good.
The black guy goes to the moon and he turns white and that's the story. Yay.
It's so hilarious.
Is actually not funny.
I found it incredible. Okay, what kind of movie? What do you consider a funny movie, Noob?
Like Jack and Jill. Like that movie where Adam Sandler's dad, or he's a father who knocked up his teacher at grade two. That kind of movie is really funny.
I believe he's referring to That's My Boy. With
oh, okay. I'm like, that kind of...
I only know that because I worked at Adam Sandler and put that on the show.
No. yeah, those are my favorite.
So yeah, I would still recommend Iron Sky because apparently
Noob don't watch Iron Sky. It's really good. It's funny.
It's really funny. It's really funny. But it's also one of those movies you should watch with friends.
Something like Wreck-It Ralph.
It's like the second worst movie I saw this year after Ted, which I found offensive to watch.
I've heard Ted's pretty bad, but
yeah. It's Family Guy, live action. And that's the worst possible thing you can get out of a film.
But the movies I ended up watching this week were Ip Man, which came highly, highly recommended as a martial arts movie. It's about the guy who went on to train Bruce Lee. Probably his greatest claim to fame. It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
You're not going to correct yourself on that? No. You said frame again.
I did. I found it. I got what that movie delivered from Fearless, the Jet Li movie, and Fearless is probably my favorite kung fu / martial arts movie at the moment. Followed very closely by The Raid, and none of the movies I ended up watching. I think I watched quite a few others, but since none of them really compared to those two, I'd say I wouldn't really necessarily bother calling them out on this podcast. But yeah, no, it's. It's fun watching stupid kung fu movies every now and then. So that was what I did this week. Thank you for asking, Therableton. Durin.
No problem.
What are you up to this week?
I played a little bit more Halo 4. I watched some kind of bad reality ghost hunting shows.
What? Were you watching the History Channel? Because that's
No. I don't watch normal television. So if it's basically on Netflix, I'll watch it.
Okay.
So I watched a show called Ghost Hunters International and another one called Ghost Labs.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Wait, so I'll have to point out here that Ghost Hunters International is most probably a riff on the name Monster Hunter International, which is the book I continue to recommend to you, but you refuse to read. But aside from that...
No, Ghost Hunters is actually was already a pre-existing show. Ghost Hunters International is when they had like formed a group that left the United States and traveled all over the world to different haunted places trying to get, you know, ghosts.
So why did you watch these TV series?
Because a while back I watched a different one called Ghost Adventures, which was fucking terrible, but in like the most entertaining way.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, it was great. It had the most meathead of meatheads on there.
Okay.
Just making fools of themselves on the camera.
Oh man, the pyramids weren't made by aliens. They were made by ghosts.
And like it was bad in like every way possible. But
you enjoyed it.
It made it entertaining.
Okay,
it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, like I watched through all they had on Netflix, and then I went to basically try to find other shows like that because I think that show got canceled after two seasons. Uh-huh. Not surprisingly. And I've not found one that's quite as entertaining. The Ghost Hunters International, they basically rarely ever actually find any kind of quote unquote evidence.
I have to again, Durin. Hate to break it to you, but ghosts aren't real.
Well, no. That hence the quotes.
Okay.
But
we can't see the quotes over the internet. I'm sorry.
No, I said quote unquote.
Okay, sure. Ghosts. Sure. I thought you meant quote unquote evidence. Are there
just quotes empty? Those are just empty.
Well, that's
quotes.
What I meant. Like evidence, like ghosts. Okay, like sure. Clearly, they didn't find anything.
All right.
The pyramid. The other show is actually the opposite, where they somehow, like, everywhere they go, they get the most clearest of clear EVPs and, like, images they think they see in the pictures and stuff.
Sure.
But clearly they're just making it themselves because you can actually, in a lot of the cases, you can hear that is their voice. Like, there was one that was a female that straight up sounded like the only female on their team.
That's the future. That is. Future.
So
I've been doing that.
Okay, sure. For some reason.
Wait, why? Not, why are you watching those?
You want to recapture the magic of the previous ghost show he watched. Do you find that weird, Nubarama?
I do find that weird. The fact that he would try to go back to that genre.
When I'm not eating dinner at my computer, my wife and I will watch something on TV while we eat dinner. And that Ghost Adventures was what we watch.
I find really sad that it goes that way around.
Yeah.
What do you mean it goes that
There's
way
so
around?
There's so much other better programming on Netflix, like anime or pornography.
When I'm not eating dinner at my computer, I eat dinner with my wife. That should be the other way around. I'm pretty
sure. You need to work to swap those two.
We don't have a dining room table anymore because we're in a smaller apartment now, and our dining room is literally where I'm sitting right now.
Okay.
At my computer desk. So it is basically either eat at desk or straddle plate and lap and eat on the couch.
Okay.
Why not on the
floor?
What?
Because
he's not an animal. He's not a fucking animal.
Hey, man.
Why I didn't read off the floor.
Back home in North Korea, wood is used for the glorious communist cause.
I decided to say I'm not in Japan.
Yeah, he's not in Japan.
That's but God, I feel like I've been doing something else, but I don't know what.
Yeah, all those fantastic times spent with Ghost Story, dream,
and that's why you watched all of these.
I guess pretty much just like, you know, getting in as much Guild Wars 3 time as I can.
Okay.
I did check in with Star Wars The Old Republic because that went free today.
Yay!
So I went out there and I checked out what their free store is and like what their transition to free was.
Mm-hmm.
And damn. You have to pay to hide your head slot item.
That sounds like
free to play has reached a new level.
That's pretty sad. Yeah.
Also, the other thing I noticed, and like some of the stuff is okay. Like there's things like, you know, expand your storage and expand your inventory and access the guild bank. Like those are all microtransaction things that are available to for free to subscribers. So in a lot of cases, there is a means of unlocking what would be subscriber only items through their cash shop. But there's one way where they will never be equal, and that is as a subscriber or as a free player, you are limited to how many war zones you can do each week. And war zones are basically their structured PvP. And you're limited to like, I think it's like three or something per week, like three matches per week, or maybe five per week, or I don't remember. Mm-hmm. But you're limited. So you can buy an upgrade that allows you to have unlimited access to those war zones for 7 days.
Okay. That's
there's no permanent unlimited access to this for, you know, say $20 or something. So if you want unlimited access to features of the game, like back of the box features of the game, you either be a subscriber or pay weekly for those things.
Okay. So it's more like a demo than free to play.
Kinda. I mean,
it's like free to see and then pay to play.
Like on the plus side, you know, it does only give you two character slots for the free to play. But
that's a plus.
You are able to, like, all the classes are available. I'm saying all the classes are available though. For free to play, so you can lock out of certain classes. Not all the races are, but that doesn't really fucking matter because everyone's going to make human anyway, since the others are terrible.
They all look human regardless.
Yeah. It's human or red human with spikes.
Yay! Well, I'd
Jar Jar Binks. What is he? A Gungan? I forget what it's called.
Who?
Make Jar Jar Binks in any of those Star Wars games?
Were there any Gungan Jedi?
I hope not.
Probably in the extended universe somewhere.
Man,
I mean,
that'd be sad if there wasn't. There was a Hutt Jedi. There was a Hutt Jedi. That's cool.
Yeah, there was a Hutt Jedi in the extended universe.
It's kind of a shit Jedi when you can't really jump around or move or anything.
Are all the huts that big?
All the classes. What's that?
Are all the huts that big and fat?
Yes. They're
very like big. Adults, they're that big, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought morbidly obese people. Like, I thought Jedi were agile. There's some sort of training involved to become a Jedi.
That's why the picture of the Hutt Jedi is fucking hilarious because he's clearly just sitting there still.
Oh, and, God. Like, what the hell is this?
Flailing his lightsaber. But yeah, anyway, getting back to the Old Republic.
Maybe he's like Modok.
So all the classes, classes are available to you to the free-to-play, and all the leveling content from 1 to 50 is available to you for free-to-play. So you could actually go straight from, you know, beginning to end with every class and just deleting characters as you go. Or, you know, I imagine somewhere in there there's the ability to unlock more character classes for the free to play. So, like, that part is kind of cool, especially considering, like, that leveling process is really pretty much the best part of the game anyway.
Right.
Plus, as somebody who had played the game prior and had made 8 characters, it was nice to see that even though I'm, you know, have been dropped down to a free-to-play account that is limited to 2 character slots, it appears as though they let me keep all 8 of my characters, and I believe I still have access to all 8 of them.
Okay. That sounds good, I guess. Like, so, long story short, you think you're going to go back with 2 Star Wars?
Oh, ever? Hell no.
Okay.
No.
Didn't think so. Fuck.
Like, if the summer drought is real bad, I might go back in there and check out my Imperial Agent, because I heard that was the best story in the game and I never finished it.
Yep.
But that would pretty much be the extent of it, because in a post Guild Wars 2 world, I don't see the relevance for games like Star Wars anymore.
Aww. Wait. Like, oh, speaking of,
even Secret World is okay. Like, that has its place. Terra still, I think, to some extent, has its place.
Right.
And I feel like even, you know, Lord of the Rings Online when it comes out, or Lord of the Rings. Oh God. Elder Scrolls Online when it comes out.
Yeah.
I think might have its place.
And I will argue with you. I will argue that. But sure, go on.
Yeah. Depending on how things work out, that could even potentially have its place. But
really?
I feel like
Star
Wars.
Do you think
there's
any likeliness of it ever working out well for that game? I don't.
There is if the game actually launches as a free to play game, similar to what Guild Wars 2 did, then absolutely there is.
God.
They haven't nailed down and said this is what our model is going to be.
You're a hopeless.
But all of the hype around that game has died, and I don't think it's hit rock bottom.
There was never
bottom.
Hype around the game.
There was no hype around that game. I'm with Durin on that one.
Like, people, like, they announced it, and people in the audience were just like, wait, you're what?
That story they said on the podcast a while ago was kind of sad. Where
yeah, like, I think people in the room were actually looking around at each other like, are they for real?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, pretty much the opposite of what you want as a developer if you're announcing your game to a group of journalists. But
I want to say there was even, like, delayed applause because they weren't, just weren't really sure, but at the same time, like, after they showed off that gameplay trailer not too long ago, like 9-minute trailer, like, it could be interesting what they're doing. The PvP, they're clearly taking a lot of cues from Guild Wars 2. They're doing something kind of
strongly disagree above. That there's anything interesting about that trailer or anything similar that they've released in the past. I've pretty much watched most of what that game has shown, especially with the lead up to some of the Skyrim DLC. But you are an optimist, Durin, in this case. I'll let you have that.
I'm saying that, like, there's the potential for it. Whereas with Star Wars Old Republic, I feel like that game lost its relevance almost. I mean, a lot of us didn't know it at the time, especially those of us that actually bought it and played it, but kind of lost its relevance before it ever came out.
Yeah, pretty much. Man, but how about the new Star Wars movies? Won't they reinvigorate the interest in Star Wars The Old Republic?
No, because I think by the time those release, The Old Republic is probably going to have shut down. I don't think free-to-play is going to work out for them in the long run. I think
even with them rushing it, like, what's the first movie release? 14? 15?
Yeah, it's not too far. It's the
first one,
yeah. Oh, wait,
it's 2 years.
It's over a year away, and it took less to go free-to-play.
Yeah.
And like I said, the free-to-play was clearly a desperation move. So, I mean, in the same time they announced free-to-play, they dropped the price of the game from $50 to $15.
Man. Anyway.
The game is not on 2 years from now.
Anything else you've been doing? What's up, dude?
Yeah, Ghosts, Jedis.
Wait, Noob Rama has something to say. What do you have to say, Noob?
So I just linked a Star Wars Wiki thing, and then I delved into the pit of Star Wars Wiki articles. God. Then I somehow got to the Jar Jar Binks page, as you do, because he's my hero. Apparently.
It's like 6 degrees of Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks' father, his name is George. It's just plain George. That's his father's name. George Jar Binks.
George Jar Binks.
Yep.
Fuck. I hate you so much.
His father was, like, suicidal because his son was so stupid, and that's about it.
You made that, like, part up.
No. Look. A month later, George and his wife and Georgia were all stranded on a desert island. This caused George to lament over what he could have been, called his son an imbecile, and attempted to commit suicide.
What? I'm calling BS. Where is this? I'm clicking the link now.
Scroll down to biography.
You gotta remember, Cynic, we're talking about extended universe stuff, so this was probably something written by a fan of Star Wars who fucking hates Jar Jar. So they're like, I'm gonna write this motherfucker. He is the imbecile that we all know he is. I don't care what George says.
Yeah. Okay, that explanation I will believe, as opposed to pretty much anything else. This is dumb.
This is like the life story of a hero who saves Naboo.
Oh. So shifting gears here just a little bit, and I
we away move on past from Star Wars extended fiction.
Yes. Thank you. Away from Star Wars extended fiction to something more relevant.
Jar Jar put his large dong into X girl something Star Wars fan fiction.
But no, we're gonna move away from that to something more relevant, the Vita.
Okay.
So I wanted to get your take as the only other person that I know who owns a Vita.
Sure.
PlayStation Plus coming to Vita, giving away Uncharted, Gravity Rush, and like every other decent thing that is there out there for Vita. What the fuck?
I think that PlayStation Plus was going to head to Vita anyway, because it's kind of their online strategy. Yeah. And they had to pick games to give away, because part of the advertising point of PlayStation Plus is to be your instant games library, right? Mm-hmm. And Uncharted's first party, and it's probably sold as much as it's going to sell. So I'm not surprised. I don't know.
I'm mostly surprised because Uncharted and Gravity Rush are two of the six games they're doing, and those are pretty much the only two games, for the Vita that you want to buy right now.
Pretty much. But then they've been out for half a year. Like it's not they aren't cannibalizing sales too much, and PlayStation Plus is what, $50 a year for Sony? It's also too bad.
Yeah.
But my main question is, if you're a PlayStation Plus like subscriber, does that are those two linked? Yeah.
Like, do you have to play? If you are currently a PlayStation Plus subscriber, then on the 19th, I believe, when this goes live, you will also have Vita PlayStation Plus as well.
That's cool. I'm totally down for that.
So, like, tomorrow's payday. I'm going to go ahead and finally take the dive on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Because I was already going to buy Gravity Rush anyway. I've been kind of looking at it for the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. It's like $35, or I can just pay $50 for PlayStation Plus and have all of this.
Exactly.
So and all the PlayStation 3 stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is finally the thing that kind of tipped me over on PlayStation Plus. And I was just curious what your take on it was.
No,
this was enough for you to also look at it.
Because I don't want either of those games, and I'm not in the position to have more monthly things taken from me. I don't think I will, but if there is something awesome on there eventually, then I probably will. I don't know, but at the moment I'm not too, but I'm not surprised by it, but I'm not really enticed by it either. So
I think the strangest one, even beyond I think Uncharted, is the inclusion of Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions.
It's real good.
A PSP game.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
it's weird that that's included in this.
Probably because they looked at
games.
What people actually bought for their Vitas, and I'm one of those people who bought Final Fantasy Tactics for my Vita, so they probably know what they're doing at that point. Because I looked at it like, if I didn't own that already, that'd totally be the only game in that list that I'd be interested in. But since I do,
yeah. I want to trade in my copy of Uncharted that I have.
Right. That's probably pretty
but
smart.
At the same time, but at the same time, like, I'm worried because, like, I'm thinking, a year from now, if I decide I don't want PlayStation Plus anymore, if I already traded my Uncharted, I don't have it anymore. But then, like, do I care?
You don't care. That's the answer. Like, I don't. I've got a stack of games under my table that I will never play again, ever. But I'm not going to trade them in because I don't support used games. But that's like a different discussion entirely. It's very Like, it's fine for you to trade that shit in. You're not going to play it again. It's Uncharted. I don't plan to play 2 again.
I don't support used games either, but when it gets to redundancy like this, like, I feel like that's the most logical option.
Yeah.
And maybe to do so, like, tomorrow before they fucking, like, plummet the trade-in value on the game come Monday.
Anyway, I guess we can move on to Guild Wars 2 news. We'll do that. Who knows what happened this week, because I fucking sure else don't. Durin.
Oh, I know. Oh,
okay, go ahead. No, no, go ahead, no. I always.
So they basically added this gold box to everyone's inventory, and if you open it, it gives you 8 gold. It's pretty cool.
I know that did not happen.
Am I the only one that got that gold box?
I still have 70 silver.
Okay, so you just need to open the gold box. You got it in your mail. It should be there.
I don't think I did.
It's only if you had the premium membership.
Yeah, if you bought the digital deluxe edition. So five people
we're sorry.
Yeah,
we know. Yep, we know. That would be gold.
That would be fantastic if that's what they did.
And how about like a heartfelt sorry note from every ArenaNet developer? I think then I might forgive ArenaNet.
It's actually inscribed on the back of each of those coins. You just need to kind of line them up puzzle style.
Yep. And then they're actually made out of chocolate and you can eat them. Like, those are the best gold coins.
And then you don't
fuck your ArenaNet, you fucking pieces of shit. Give me my $20.
Thurbleton.
You think they'd add in like gems with that shit? But no. No, 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 no. They give you nothing. They give you nothing.
As the person who knows. I think for this week's, they just said they did, you know, routine maintenance. I think on the 14th, they did a update where they just fixed a bug with diminishing returns and explorer modes. But I don't think there's been any updates. Nothing. Nothing really? Major.
Sure.
Other than the gold box. No.
Because I launched it was too, and like there was this really huge download, like 4,000 files or something. I didn't know what it's about.
It was
gold
a big
box update for the digital dungeon
thing.
It's probably just a virus, considering that there's just.
Yeah, I mean, probably. Clearly.
Fucking.
I just.
ArenaNet viruses. Worst.
Yeah, it is the worst.
All right, this seems to be funny.
I think it's just a bunch of JPEG files or art files of Morset for Guild Wars 2. That's what it's going to be.
So the Lost Shore is like
they did a bunch of bans on hunters, or rangers rather, and like not all of them were bots. Was that this week?
Oh, what? Is this actual news that happened?
Oh, wow, really?
Well, it's semi news, but they did a bunch of bans on rangers and. Not all of them were bots. Some of them were players. And so they had to like petition. It's like, hey, can I have my account back? And it's like, oh, sorry about that.
Right. So the war against bots continues.
You know what they probably did? They just banned in any ranger that walked into Frostgore Sound for like a set amount of period. And then that's how they banned all of them.
Anytime a ranger had their pet kill somebody that they didn't touch.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. Yep. But anyway, so the Lost Shores is happening this week.
It is.
You might be wondering why we're recording this episode so early and putting it up so early. I hope, assuming I get this up in time. But so this is being recorded the day before Lost Shores starts because we obviously want to be playing over the weekend. And at the time of this, I believe we've just gotten the huge fucking download patch that unlocked obviously that content for tomorrow, but also the cool PvP map that came with this patch, right?
Very cool map, yeah. I did a run around on it. I haven't done a ton of fighting, but I've gone to explore the map. I think Durin has too.
Yeah, so I think me, Durin, we've definitely done one round at least on that. And you've done a bit more, but so let's tally it all up. So there's the new map. Then there have been changes to dungeon bosses, right?
Yeah, it's well. A preliminary search. Some people ran one of the paths in Ascalon Catacombs and found that the final boss had a reward that was unique to him.
And it was an exotic, right?
Yeah, it was an exotic. It was like a back piece, I think. But it was like it was account bound. But it's like once you use it, you could transfer it to other characters. It'd just be soul bound once you use it.
Okay, cool. So essentially, they've and I think they've upped rewards as well. Maybe.
From what they said, they're making money hand over fist, but it could just be the same as getting a golden box that shows up on your screen. I haven't seen it, so.
Right.
It's all I've been hearing people talk about getting quite a bit more money from running their dungeons. I know Shinboy ran one today, and from doing just one path, he got like a round of gold.
Yeah, exactly. He did three runs, and I think he got three gold or so from those three runs.
Yeah.
So that's pretty
which before I think it was like roughly about what 25 to 30 silver.
It was like well yeah it was like 40 ish. But now yeah significantly heightened from what they've been able to get. I'm not sure how much of that is from selling stuff on the trading post and affected by how prices have changed there. But in general, it seems like the people who know about dungeon drop rates are saying there are more drops from dungeons. So that's pretty cool.
This is an awesome feature. I didn't realize my first time reading through the patch notes, If anybody's done dungeons before knows that, like, if you're the first person to go in, you're effectively the owner of the dungeon, right? If you leave the group, rather than you leaving the dungeon, everyone else in the group leaves because you're the owner of the dungeon.
Okay.
Apparently people have been doing that to, like, kick out puggers and invite their own friends for the final boss sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what they've
done. Now, if you are the owner and you leave the group, everyone leaves the dungeon.
Yay!
Including you.
That could go badly. That could go very badly.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, the ideal way to do that would be just to transfer leadership over to somebody else, like migrate the server or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's something that's possible with their technology.
Maybe, but I don't know. Like,
The
problem they're trying to fight is that thing, because of how the dungeons have changed, now you get all your tokens from the final boss, essentially. So people have literally just gotten pogs going and then kicked people from the dungeon just at the end to get their friends to get those tokens. Fucking worst. Like, these are scum, in my opinion. But, like, I don't know if this is the best way to fix it. I mean, it'll hopefully at least be something of a positive step. I don't know how well dungeons have progressed in terms of connectivity and continued stability. I'm assuming they've improved since release, since a bunch of people have been running dungeons and never really complaining about it. So hopefully it'll end up pretty well. But obviously there'll be things like connection issues coming into it, which maybe sometimes your dude will disconnect and therefore you lose the dungeon. But that's not much different from, say, for example, Diablo 3 when you're running with a group. Like, shit can happen, like me disconnecting just before the final boss and me losing my progress. Stuff like that happens in any online connected game. So I'm not really particularly worried about that. So it's probably a good change. I don't know. I just found out about this now, so you're hearing my immediate reactions. So there's that.
This is fresh.
Fresh. So there's like that. There is so potential of like unique drops from end of dungeon bosses. Now that is, I think, is pretty cool. Durin, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm sorry. What was that?
the unique drops at the for certain paths.
Oh yeah, no. Actually, that's actually really good because it's something they've been trying to work towards, like not forcing people, but like giving people reasons to do more than just running that one path because it's the fastest way to get whatever.
Absolutely.
And they've done some things in the past to try to do that or try to encourage that.
Yeah.
With you know.
Yeah, the okay dungeon results. Scaling. Yeah, it's dungeon scaling at the end of a part.
Like they've gotten some results out of it, but not nearly maybe what they wanted. So I feel like this might actually push it in that direction finally, at least to some extent. Obviously, once you've gotten whatever the unique thing is from that path, you're probably going to be less likely to want to continue running that one.
Yeah.
But at least
you can sell. I think for some of them, you can like some of the crazy drops you can get from dungeons now. You can sell, and apparently some of them are worth up in the ranges of like 20 gold or so. But I know that the really cool, like that drop, I think, is account bound on pickup. So I don't think you can sell that one. So you're probably right in that case, assuming people want to be jerks about it and not run a dungeon again just because they have the final piece, which is something people do. It's an MMO, I guess.
Yep.
Even if you can't, can you throw soulbound items into the Mystic Forge? That's something we probably should test, is if these things are Mystic Forge compatible. I just know that.
I think you can.
With or without rewards, you're getting a higher chance to get rares and exotics in the dungeons.
Okay.
Or at least from the bosses.
Right.
And they've made a slight increase, so from like 0.001% to 2% chance of getting legendary exotic prereqs from the Mystic Forge.
Okay, cool.
And but so that's just run more dungeons, throw them in the forge.
Yeah, that would definitely be an option. Whether you'd be wanting an exotic or perhaps an ascended item, that's a discussion for later this episode. so, yes, that's pretty cool. So nice new items from completing dungeons. Dungeons have gotten better, just in general, apparently, in terms of return on your investment of time. But I think the
is
coolest
that the patch
thing.
Note? Dungeons have gotten better. That's the patch note.
Yeah, that should
I
be
believe the
patch
note says dungeons have gotten better on Friday nights for Lincoln Force.
Well, that happened last week with the karaoke. But anyway, so those are some of the changes. So obviously, easy to get legendary prereqs, but we speculated on that last week. Dungeons have gotten better, and the new PvP map. So let's talk about that. Durbleton, you're the one who, as soon as I got online today to start recording this episode, were like, no, no, no. Before you start recording, you should see this map. You were pretty impressed by it. What are your thoughts? Give us a run through what it is, and what are your thoughts?
Well, I just spent a lot of time doing, like, the last new one they added was Raid on Capricorn, which, I mean, it's campy and fun with the cannon, but this one is a lot more mobile. Right. Plus, it's, for anybody who doesn't know, it's a giant Kodan ship that you're fighting on.
Yeah.
And while the Lincoln Force may not, everyone may not approve of the underwater fighting of Kodan ships, fighting on a giant iceberg is awesome.
I agree.
And so it's a lot of there's 3 points like normal. They all follow that same design. But rather than anyone like a guild lord or the Nifil buffs, there's these commune buffs. There's four of them in the map.
Right.
And those are the main like auxiliary way to get a point increase on top of just killing people or capping points.
Yeah.
It's
kind of crazy. So essentially you start the map off, and I'm going to give you at least my first look at it, because it's, again, Thurbleton's like, hey, you need to try this map out. I jump into the aisles, I load up my launcher, and it's been added to the normal rotation. So as soon as that ended, it went over to Forals and Divahel as usual. But so we jumped into the map that was running at the time. And so I jumped into the map. Immediately it starts you off, at least for the side we're on, in like this floating like platform, which it turns out to be like the tip of one of the many tips of the ship. I've forgotten what they're called. Not bow.
Tips of the ship.
Is that bow / airship?
It is the bow.
Is it the bow? It? The very front of the ship? Or is that the... No, it's bow. It's bow.
Like, that's the
it's
big, the bow. Like...
Yeah.
Planks. Yeah, sticking out. Yeah.
Yeah, the bow. So it starts you off with the bow, one of the many bows of the large Kodan ship. And I almost got a sense of vertigo, because you can, when you're looking down, the map is huge. Like, it's gigantic. You can see most of it from the starting point, which is kind of interesting in itself. And then you jump through a teleporter and you start. And immediately I was also overwhelmed by what the fuck to do, because there is the three control points on the map, but there's also the three nodes on the map which confer buffs. It's also really, really weird that the announcer goes, a buff is now available, or some shit like that. Like, when they become like uncontested, the announcer literally just calls it a buff, and on your screen, in the alerts, it just says buff, and I'm like, okay, that's a bit inside baseball. But anyway, so you start off, and it's the normal three-point capture map as you'd expect, but the actual distances between each of the capture points are, I'd say a little bit longer than usual, probably. I'd guess.
I think a good word for it, for the distances, is winding paths.
Yeah, because the actual like overhead distance isn't that much different than it would be, for example, any other point in any other PvP map that I remember. I'm trying to think back through them. Maybe going from like the opposite sides of Battle for Kylo. Battle for Kylo would be a bit longer, I'd say, because that's all the way across the map. These ones, it's more of like a triangle than a straight line, so it obviously is shorter than that. But at the same time, there's winding paths, as Thurbleton says, between them. So you have to like go upstairs and like jump. Not really jumping, but some cases it would be faster if you jump small crevices and stuff like that on the way between these points. I found that pretty cool. I was relatively surprised by their willingness to go like a little bit abnormal. In what would eventually, I guess you can level it as being, hey, the aesthetics are a large part of this map. Like, it is beautiful, and that's probably a good thing, because they want to diversify how the maps look. And you look at this map, it looks absolutely nothing like any of the other maps you're working with. Now, whether those aesthetics got in the way of an efficient PvP map, like whether the winding paths between points are particularly interesting, because to some extent, like, it was cool because the point, like the paths are winding, I would not necessarily see who was on a capture point before I got there. So that could be one point of contestation and interestingness to any form of competitiveness on those maps. Especially, like, just the general denial of information is pretty high on this map, because like there's that, but also like, for example, if you're on Forest and Nivelhill, a large part of the tactical advantage comes from scouting areas. And there obviously are like small bottlenecks in Forest and Niflhel where you're forced to go through archways and so on and so forth. And you can't see too much of the map except for perhaps at the very top in the keep. In this, there's more of that. Like, there's far more of a situation where you might not necessarily know, unless you just happen to have one of your team in that area, what's going on, which is pretty cool in itself. But aside from that, I guess we're kind of dancing around it. There's the buffs. Like, the buffs themselves are what makes this map unique. Therbs?
I only know what two out of the three buffs are, and I say that even though I previously said there's four buffs. Two of them are the same.
Okay.
Yeah. There's three buffs, but there are 2 points that give you the same.
Yeah. There are three types of buffs.
All right.
I actually have them up in front of me.
The two most common ones to get. Okay. You can tell me what the second one is. The two most common ones you can get are these claws on the bottom. And I should preface that anybody who goes in here is going to get confused. You still see the pillar of light where the buff will spawn.
Yeah.
But you can only activate it when it's got like the
symbol
claw
of the buff.
Or bear paw. Yeah. The symbol on it.
Yeah.
And that's just, you know, a quick commune of power sort of thing.
Yeah, like it's very similar to, exactly, like a skill point. So you'd be walking up to a pillar of light and there's a orb in the middle of it if it's available to be activated. And that orb, in this case, would have the symbol of the buff on it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's commune time?
Yeah.
Yes, and actually, like a red team and a blue team can commune at the same one without like any interruption. But if you attack somebody while communing, they stop.
Yeah, it's like they pretty much ripped out. Is straight up communing from PvE. Like, if you get attacked, you get interrupted. And it takes about that time. Like, it takes a long time, pretty much like you would a skill point, to commune these capture points.
And then crazy. You have, like, that skill point, like, colorful flash of energy.
I don't remember, because we were in combat at the time, but yeah.
Yeah, it's in the flurry of combat, it's hard to tell. But
you can't wait
anyway.
Until people are at, like, the beginning of the map, always saying, don't attack while communing, please. And then just, like, vote kick. This guy attacked me while I was
attack
communing.
While communing. These buffs are actually pretty good. The two common ones on the south side give every time you kill somebody, you normally get, like, what, 1 point for your team? Right. In this case, it's...
3, I believe.
Okay, well, with the buff, it's +3.
Right. Yeah.
So you're doubling the value. And then if you want to say what the middle point is on the planks.
Well, the other thing to note on that is that there are two of those, like you said. Those can stack.
Yes,
so that will earn you up to 11 points for a kill.
And even more so, I'm fairly certain when you get it, it gives it to everybody on your team. And it's like 40 seconds long.
Yeah. And just to be clear here, so you normally get 5 for a kill, then 3 additional for
five,
each.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so 3 additional for each of these buffs, so 3, 5 plus 6, there you go.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, so 11 points per kill significantly changes how PvP would happen on this map. Because, I don't think in any other case, in any of the map, there is even remotely an equivalency between getting kills and winning the match. In most cases, like, if you're actually competitive PvP, you'd rather be capping or holding than getting kills, but this entirely upsets that balance, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, and like the only thing that worries me about it is, to some extent, I could see that potentially like almost maybe turning the importance of kills to gathering points, because like if you rush for those two buffs and you manage to get both of them for your team, you almost don't need to bother with points at that point. Just like zerg around the map, kill everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like it's only 50 kills at that point for a victory. So 500 points, less than 50, it would actually be like 45, something like that. But so essentially you could focus on getting kills. There'd only be what, 10 kills each per team. And I've had situations when I'd be able to see numbers like that, especially in this particularly gory pug match. So it could go that way. I'm more interested strategies of holding 1 point and killing with the rest, like having your tank hold 1 point, your local or whatever, and then everyone else focus on killing.
Well, and what I was gonna say is actually leading into the next buff, this is actually kind of the counter to that. If you know the other team decides to go for both of the ferocity buffs, you would want to then send somebody on to get the meditation of stillness, that allows your team to get 2 points per cap point per pulse instead of one.
So crazy. So essentially, yeah, like if you get to this commune point, and obviously all the same things apply. If you get interrupted by the enemy, you're fucked. But having that commune point literally doubles the effectiveness of your cap points, and that is cool. Like, I love the dynamics that could result from this, but I'm worried for how complicated this could get in terms of a victory method on this map.
I'm mostly worried about, like, I guess it shouldn't really be a worry, but if you end up having a team that is very much outclassed by another team, they're going to stand no fucking chance, because if that other team manages to grab, like, say, all of these buffs, they win.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, just flat out. They can just face roll through the rest of it and they'll win.
Yeah. But it's important to note that these buffs, unlike the ones in Niflhel, I don't believe they increase your stats in any way. They don't make you more powerful that I know of. It just gives you more of an incentive to kill or to
do certain things, yeah.
Yeah.
I think a big thing, though, is the location of them.
Yeah.
Because it's the from a point perspective, it's really a lot based like Capricorn. Like, there's two on the mid left, mid right, and there's one on the bottom. There's just none of them are underwater, thank God. The two claw buffs, the ones that give you plus two killing people, are relatively close to each person's spawn on the bottom right, bottom left.
Right.
And then the stillness is basically in the center of the map.
Yeah.
And then I've seen, like, again, this is just beta, but I've seen always a ton of fighting there.
Yeah.
Especially when the buff is active.
Exactly.
And the important thing to know about that is there's these two holes in the ground by the buff.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to get feared or whatever into them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fall in there, it's not actually fall to your death. It looks like it from above.
Yeah.
You end up falling underwater, and that's where you get to the fourth buff.
The final one.
Yes.
And perhaps the
coolest.
Yeah, the coolest one. Yeah, I think.
When you get it, like, you can quickly get back on. There's like a plank bridge, so you're not underwater fighting. But when it's up, most people will be going for it. And if you commune with it, all the points on the map go to your team.
Yeah. So just to be clear, you fall down these holes. Obviously, there's also like a path to get down there, like a cave kind of path, which takes you down to this underwater section or underground section. So it's the only one, I believe, on the map. I think this is the only part. Yeah, of the whole map that was underground. It's a pretty small enclosed area. You could easily see a large fight happening in that area. It is definitely large enough for a whole group of 5v5 to actually end up fighting there, which you shouldn't do. Like, it's not worth it in that case. But in either case, if one person communes with this node on that point, and it seems to have a longer timer than any of the others, just to be clear, if you commune with that point, all the points on the map, so the actual capture points, are flipped to your team. So it doesn't matter who's holding whatever, even if they're neutral, I think they also become your team's, which is crazy.
Yeah, what it does is it resets them and then gives them all to your team.
Yeah.
But also, going back to the timer, it doesn't actually start up immediately. It'll only start up once the game has been running for a while, and it only appears once per game.
Oh, really? That I didn't know. I thought it was twice or like on a specific timer.
So basically, like, you don't want to necessarily go for it immediately when it's come up, but it's a really good thing. Like, let's say if you are if your team is behind and you just need a real quick comeback, that's when you want to go after it. And I guess to some extent, if your team is ahead, you might want to go ahead and go after it just to make sure the other team can't get it.
Just to disable it for later.
Yeah.
And I guess one other thing to explain with this is after you cap that, the only way out of that room is a stairwell that leads directly to the southern middle point, the gate.
And
so I can see, like, a lot of people, like, a fighting happening on top of the middle buff. People fall down, and then half the fighting's up there, half the fighting's down by the gate.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. I overall like this map much, much, much more than Capricorn. Whether it's as competitively viable as the three existing maps, I'm not certain yet, because it just comes down to, at some point, the victory, like, the steps you have to take to attain victory become really complex, because there's, three forms of methods. Like, I could think of it, at least at the top of my head, like, in terms of team splits and, like, where you'd send who when to be victorious on this map. And that's crazy, just, like, immediately. And I don't even know what the counters would be. That's why I'm not vocalizing it, because at some point it'll just become like a driveling mess of, hey, but you could do this, or he could do that. Like, It's kind of crazy. This map is exciting.
I'm interested to see it because I would love to see, you know, maybe some of the you know, pro teams face off in this, because I feel like this really allows for some extremely diversified strategies to occur that you don't see in the other maps. And just by design, you really can't see in the other maps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it might be the first map where a Mesmer portal might be viable.
That's true.
As a Mesmer, he's portal, excited.
Say, from that bottom to the top?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
No, that could be crazy, actually. But I don't know if that would be particularly useful. I would say put them between the two buff points.
If you have like a two cap, mm-hmm. if you have your natural and then the gate, and you see somebody like, you know, your team's making a push to your natural point,
yeah,
your objective is to push them into that like that well or something and like bottleneck them towards the gate.
Yeah,
you can keep the fighting focus there, and does a Mesmer just like, nope, we're getting these teammates back up here because we're going to get their natural.
That could be cool. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the new map. We can't really say much more than what we have. I think we've gone quite a bit into, at least just on the speculation. We will see how that develops. We're not certain if it'll become like an actual PvP rotation map or what time frame we're looking at if it does. But hey, it's interesting, exciting, and I encourage everyone to check it out. It's probably my favorite map at the moment, at least from what I've seen. But that's because I like convoluted, crazy new stuff. So whatever.
Yeah. And again, it is in beta, so subject to change.
Yeah, absolutely. So
if you're listening to this 3 months from now,
dungeon changes.
Well, new not map. Only is it subject to change, but also they did say that if people don't like the map, then like they will only include it in the normal rotation if people seem to enjoy it.
Yeah. Which is yet to be seen, because us as like relatively casual players would have an entirely different reaction to this, I believe, than
yeah. The jerks. Well, I mean, it's more so like, it's nice to see them doing this. It's a shame they didn't maybe do that. Like, it's a shame this policy didn't exist prior to Capricorn, but at least it's something going forward.
Well, yeah, fucking Capricorn. I liked Capricorn for a while, but then I turned it. Anyway, so, yes, we've got new changes to dungeons, changes to legendary, like getting the components and so on and so forth. New PvP map. Anything else aside from the obvious?
Oh, you're missing something important. Guild halls.
Anything else that happened aside from the obvious with this new patch?
There is an acre of updates for classes and whatnot. Some really? More than most.
Ooh.
Well, professions, yeah.
Oh, that's cool. He's a warrior. That's always my first question, because I swear warrior is pretty much good as it is, and you don't need to make many changes. I'm going to load it up. But aside from that, I think we can move on to what this patch is really for, and that is straight up, hey, this is in prep for the Lost Shores. So, Nubarama, are you excited for Lost Shores?
Hell yeah, I am, because I have a prediction that's going to be right, and if it's not right, I'm going to quit Guild Wars forever.
So set it up. So give me what.
So let me. So this is for people who, I guess it's like you would only really get it if you played the original Guild Wars, but I'll explain it to you. So in these notes, so should I talk about Ascended Gear? Because it goes along with this.
Someone
want to talk about Ascended Gear?
We are definitely going to talk about Ascended Gear. Right? I think you should set up the dungeon that it's related to.
All right. So basically, they've added a dungeon. I know nothing about the dungeon itself, though. I only have the speculation.
Just give me everything you have, and I'll go from there.
All right. So this dungeon, it's like new and stuff. And yep. like... It's like infinite and shit, and it gets like harder. Okay, so I think a good comparison.
Wait, did you just say it's infinite?
Yep.
No, it's not.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
I feel like it's just going to get harder and harder until it's just simply impossible. But yeah. I thought a good comparison was like the Last Stand mode in Dawn of War 2. I thought, for what I heard, like the information that's been going down the grapevine. Is that a thing? The grapevine? Yeah, yes. Sure.
Yeah,
grapevine.
That is a saying people use.
It's yeah. So it's like that, and they've added a bunch of new skills that will be in the dungeon. By bunch, I really just mean one. I don't know why I said bunch, but there's a new condition called Agony, which you need to have special infused armor to be able to protect against. And they're gonna add more set. That's what they're gonna do.
So your grand prediction that you were keeping secret from me before the podcast started was just that you suspect there's Mursat.
They're going to have Mursat in this dungeon. I guarantee it. You know why? Because
agony, man.
It's called agony.
As soon as I heard the word agony, I was like, oh shit, it begins.
You know what? And Shinboy isn't here right now, but I like the second that update was shown, I messaged Shinboy saying, okay, this dungeon, it's going to have Mursat. Because agony, spectral agony, infusion, infused against spectral agony.
It is so clear. Well, I hope it is. I hope. So,
I guess for people who didn't play Guild Wars 1, lives. In brief, what are the Mursat or the Mursat?
Angels!
And what's agony?
So in the original Guild Wars, basically the original Prophecies campaign, the hidden gods basically behind... For the majority of the campaign were these beings called the Mursat. They were like really powerful and they were dicks. They were walking fucking penises because what they did was they inflicted a skill called spectral agony. And so I guess I'll make this more clear since it's different. In Guild Wars, you had about like how much health did you have?
400 or so. Yeah.
400, and basically the skill took around 100 health per second.
Yeah.
Unless armor was infused.
It was instant death. Like, so the entire, to sum up Guild Wars in a nutshell, the entire campaign revolves around, hey, like a succession of multiple big enemies that you think are the greatest evil, right? And it progresses to this point where, hey, there's this seer in the mountains that if you go to him, he'll help you fight the Mursat. And you walk up to the seer, and it is clearly this evil-looking thing with black giant, skin.
Oh, God.
And shit. And he's like, I will infuse your armor so you can fight the Mursat. And you're like, yeah, that's a great idea. They look
rude.
Like angels, but I probably want to kill them, right? And then you end up getting your armor infused, which lets you fight spectral agony because it makes you essentially immune to it. Or it does like 30 damage a second as opposed to like 100 damage a second. And then you end up finding the Mursat aren't the bad guys. Like, surprise, surprise. But anyway, I think that the cool thing about that is that entire like chain of events made a lot of, some Guild Wars 1 players hate the Mursat, like with a vengeance, but other ones me and Noob just absolutely love the Mursat as an enemy race. Because
what? No, I don't.
Really?
I what
love
are you talking
them.
About?
They're great.
Did you not just hear how I said they were walking penises? Because I thought I made that pretty clear. Worst part is in the Guild Wars Beyond campaign, right? I'm doing the campaign, right? So I got my armor infused, blah, blah, blah. Right. I'm done. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. I finished the campaign. Mursat are gone. And then they add in like the Guild Wars Beyond extra content. And then they bring Mursat and Jade back.
Yeah.
And I have different armor now. It's not infused. Guess what? Spectral Agony kills people.
So good. I love
it. It's like drunk driving kills people, except Spectral Agony kills even more people.
So the changes to Warrior is just to step back a second here, is just that they added more combo finishes to our shit and increases the responsiveness of one of my skills. I love reading it. They know that Warrior is good as that.
Fuck you, Arena.
And they've also now started to do PvP only changes for like engineers and stuff, which is kind of crazy. But there's so many here that I couldn't really comment on that until probably next
do
week.
Do you guys think spectral agony is going to be as fucked up as it was in the original Guild Wars? Or agony?
So,
whatever they want to call it now.
We should probably step it back a bit. So with Lost Shores, there's a couple of compound changes that are happening to Guild Wars 2. Now, this is a free update, and you'll be receiving this. You probably already received the patch, and you probably already played.
Well, it's only free for digital deluxe learners.
No, that's not the... God damn it, Noob. They don't care about you. I'm sorry to break
your money.
Money! Extra money! How much have you guys spent on this game so far? Like, money-wise?
$20.
Including base costs?
No.
Including base costs.
Really? Okay, $80.
So $100.
What was base cost? Base was 60?
Yeah.
So I spent 80?
Yeah, 80.
Fucking.
Are we three months in?
Yeah, we're 3 months in.
3 months in, yeah.
So 60, 70,
90. 90? Yeah, that's not too bad.
I do 10 a month.
Yeah. So
for someone who doesn't play this game that much, I've spent way too much fucking money on this game. It's facts. And guess what I spent that $20 on? Fucking costumes.
Well, so, just be like we told you. Just because the guy on PayPal is named the Real ArenaNet doesn't mean he's real. Quit giving random people money.
Okay, that's just I thought people would have honor in today's society.
No. But
apparently not. Just took my credit card information. What a piece of shit.
Anyway, so you've probably already received the new patch. If you haven't, just boot your Guild Wars and you'll have it. But essentially, what's happening is there's a whole new expanse. We've talked about the previous weeks, the actual island there, and there's been a bunch of announcements. Well, not really announcements, more like leaks about what that entails, including stuff like many things similar to what was described by Arar. So, for example, you're going to have to set up the beachhead and escort NPCs to set up camps and stuff like that to conquer this area, at least for this weekend. And if you guys want to discuss that, I will. But beyond that, there's a new dungeon. That's probably those two that I'm excited about, which is pretty much an infinite dungeon, and we'll talk about that in a second. And finally, there's going to be a new tier of gear, called Ascended Gear, which is a couple of attribute points above what you get at the moment in exotics, which is the current maximum, which are equivalent to legendaries currently. So legendary is going to be moved up to the Ascended Gear, which are going to be a little bit more powerful. We're talking about like 10% or so. And so that's going to happen retroactively. If anyone out there is crazy enough to have a legendary, don't worry, because your stuff will be buffed. And currently the new Ascended Gear tier is starting with accessories and probably going to move on to a full set in the future. So those are the three major changes that are happening with Lost Shores. A new dungeon, new area, and new gear, I guess. We could say that with.
There is going to be some new exotic gear that comes along with that dungeon as well.
Right. Cool.
Exotics. Who needs them when you have...
So, which one do you guys want to start talking about first? You guys want to talk about the Ascended Gear or the new dungeon?
Well, I actually had a question for you guys coming from Guild Wars 1 and your explanation of the potential connection between new dungeon and what you guys played in Guild Wars 1. Does this make you guys excited about what is in this? Potentially be in this? Or do you feel like maybe a little worried that like ArenaNet's already kind of going back to the well?
If I was a believer that Mursat are involved in this, I would be very excited because they're a cool enemy. But as I said earlier, like reactions to the Mursat are mixed. Some people love them, some people hate them. From the original Guild Wars.
Well, I think people would love them to be back, but they would hate them once they encounter them in the game.
It's like a really good enemy. Like something you love to hate, right? It's like something you like fighting because they're jerks and you want to kill their asses. They have a really cool enemy design. Like they're probably cooler still than anything in Guild Wars 2 that I can think of. That part is probably mixed. But I actually am not a believer that this is to do with the Mursat.
See, I know that I feel like they're on purpose referencing the Mursat, but they're really just not going to. They named it like that just to piss people off. Just be like, hey guys,
us excited.
We're coming back.
And
then it's just like, fuck you. We added some rad people or something.
So
like that.
With the new island, and if you've seen the trailer out there, you've seen the big new boss that we're probably going to fight this weekend. There's a new race that have arisen from the depth of the sea. That's kind of like the central conceit of it, right? I've forgotten what the name is. Thurb, can you help me with this one? I forgot there's a crazy new name for this new race.
Korkag or something?
Yeah, some shit like this. I don't want to say
shit. Pronunciation
like
is bad.
Yeah, so like Korkat or something like that. But so they're sea creatures. If you've seen Cloverfield, that's essentially what you're getting with this.
I guess we should preface for people who haven't actually seen a picture. They are not tentacle minioned sea creatures.
There's something out of a hentai movie, right?
What? They look like big tentacles? Crabs and shit. Not really crabs.
I guess most people's initial thoughts before actually seeing any of the artwork was that it was going to be like Minions of Bubbles.
Minions of Oh, yeah, like dragon stuff. Wasn't Bubbles?
Yeah,
like
the Bubbles is the underwater community dragon. Name for the underwater dragon who has the power to create tentacle minions.
Right. But these are not those that we can
They're
see.
Like crab things, yeah.
Yeah, like if you've seen Borderlands 2, like the spider things, I forgot what they're called, like spider crabs or whatever. So they remind me a lot of those. Or spider ants or some shit like that. The big spider looking things. Anyway, that's like the central new enemy that's arisen, and that's what you're fighting with this. And they take over Lion's Arch or some shit, crap like that. I think a big boss amongst them is going to assault Lion's Arch this weekend, and we're going to fight him off. But that is where I think Agony is going to come from. I think it's going to be related to this new race rather than the actual Mursat. Because, well, Agni is kind of here and are there because they made a big statement that they're adding a new condition to the game, Agni, right? It's going to be a new condition that is not removable, like you cannot cure yourself from it. And it's going to be only affected by, it's only going to be placed upon you by a certain group of enemies. And I don't believe they've actually specifically said that it's related to the Korket or one of the new races. And it's going to be only fightable using a new tier of gear, the Ascended gear. So it's all kind of linked, right? I'm not really sure. I think it's going to be related to this new race rather than the Mursat, because I don't think Arena is cool enough to bring back the Mursat.
I think they're just trolling us. I guarantee they're trolling us. but I'm going to be right because, I'm right. Because let's be honest, all of the stuff Arena has implemented in this game so far has been from our podcast and specifically my opinions.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's pretty much fact that they're just taking my ideas.
Uh-huh.
After they took my money, after I purchased the Digital Deluxe Edition.
So
they've taken everything. What do I have now? I live in a park now at this point. They've taken everything I want.
So it's kind of hard to discuss because the two items are linked. So Agni is going to be that new unremovable condition, but that is only going to appear, at least from what they've said so far, unless I'm deeply mistaken, in the new dungeon, right? Like, that's where you're going to find Agni. Is that right? I think so.
In the new dungeon, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe for starters, it's only going to appear there.
Specifically, yeah.
That's the first place they're probably going
to
get in.
Yeah. But the new dungeon, from what I've seen, has nothing to do with this new race. At least I haven't seen it that way at all.
Wait, I haven't seen really much of anything about the new dungeon.
It's the Lost Shores now, right? But once we find it, is it still the Lost Shore?
The new dungeon?
Wouldn't it be the Found Shore? No.
Fuck you.
Like, just...
The new dungeon is going to be found through a teleporter, a new Asura Gate in Lion's Arch, which is going to take you directly there.
There's a lot of being built. It's, of course, these, like, I think everyone expected yet, these Lion Arch, or the Lion's Arch teleporters were taking people to new places in the game.
So the cool thing is with that is that the new dungeon is going to work with the world versus world scaling system. So if someone of any level can participate in it. That's one element of it. The new dungeon is going to be composed of, like, so you enter it, and then there's going to be a series of mini dungeons within that. So how it works is there's a central, like, a beachhead, essentially landing ground, and from there you step out into the new dungeon. That's going to take you through three mini areas, and then back to the central area. So it's kind of like, exploring a new expanse, because they call it, like, what was it, the Fractals? Like, the actual dungeon itself is something to do with the Fractals. I forgot what the name of the dungeon is.
Fractals of the Mists.
Yeah, Fractals of the Mists. So it's kind of like the idea behind it is the Asura researchers are investigating the mists, I think. And you as a party of, like, intrepid adventurers are going to be exploring the mists because it's being distilled down to these fractals. And how I picture fractals are very much like PvP maps. Like, because that is kind of like the same idea you get from them. So how they describe to us is that they're going to be like small maps, which are based upon great events from the original Guild Wars, as well as stuff you haven't seen before. And that's going to be the entire conceit of the dungeon. So you start off at the beachhead, you go through the portal or whatever to a series of three randomized fractals, and each fractal is going to be like some crazy thing that from the original Guild Wars or whatever. Then you're going to progress to the next fractal, which is going to be something entirely different, and then the next, and then back to the original landing head. So it's this kind of interesting way of approaching your dungeon, because obviously if people out there have done an explorable dungeon in the past, this is entirely new. This is nothing like what they've done before. An explorable dungeon is usually a single continuous adventure that takes you through a large pre-existing area. Then you finish it by completing the final boss, which is an entirely different place. There's no like circular kind of route through it like this is doing, which is cool in and of itself. Feel free to stop me at any time if you have anything like in terms of questions or a discussion point. So that's like the central conceit of how this dungeon is going to work. You're going to be going through these fractals. But this is where Agni comes in. And I don't know if they've intrinsically linked your progression through these fractals to Agni itself, because they make it sound like it's a native element of the maps themselves and not enemies, which is kind of weird, because when they first announced Agni, I thought it was linked to enemies. But in these new discussions of how the fractal is going to work, it makes it sound like Agony is part of the maps itself. So essentially, as you progress through this dungeon, you do that loop of three, then back to the central area. Each time you do that loop, you're considered to have completed the dungeon once, I believe. Stop me if I'm horribly wrong. And each time you complete that loop, it's going to get harder and harder. So you do a loop of three, like randomized. We don't know how big the pool is. So there might be like 15 maps or maybe...
I think there's nine.
Nine at the moment?
I remember hearing nine somewhere.
Yeah. So there's going to be nine pools of which you get three randomized maps. And every time you complete that loop, it's going to get harder and harder. And that's why it's going to be called the Infinite Dungeon. Because your rewards are going to increase every time you do that loop. But also, like, obviously the enemy's going to get harder itself. And finally, and this is where the new gear comes in, Agony is going to increase as you delve deeper into the dungeon. And that's the part that's weird. So,
well, and you said that like, your rewards get better and better as you go on, but I think more specifically, like other dungeons in the game, you don't receive your reward for that round of that fractals loop. Or whatever until you've finished all of them.
I don't think so. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's how it works. Like you finish your loop.
So like let's say you've gone through like three times and you're on your fourth time and you only get about halfway through on your fourth and that's as far as you can make it. You won't get any rewards for that fourth time. I would think so. I mean, the fourth assuming time, this maybe. Follows through. Yeah, like you would get the previous three because you'd finish those.
Yeah.
I imagine you're getting your rewards from as you go.
Yeah.
Given how they changed it where you get all your rewards at the end now. I would imagine it would follow through with that as well.
Yeah, because like there's been, there's so much to talk about because the dungeon itself, because it's open to any level of people entering it, how it's going to work is it's going to have a base difficulty based upon the levels, the maximum level obtained by any character who's entered that dungeon. So, for example, if you're entering with one level 1, one level 60, one level 80, and then like whatever else between those. The dungeon will be based off the difficulty of the 80, I believe. That's how it makes it sound. Am I wrong here? Like Thurbs? I need someone to...
I believe reading something similar to that, yeah. It's meant for geared 80s, but you can do it at a lower level.
Yeah. They made it sound like if you go in with a bunch of lower levels, then the maximum level characters who's it based off.
Like, so, I guess the one thing we don't know is how quickly it scales up to being... Good Lord, this is impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like 5 runs in, or is it the second?
Yeah, it's going to be like based upon like multiple factors. That's one element that contributes to the difficulty, so the maximum level of your party. The second element that contributes to your difficulty is that it will remember the individual progress through those fractals of each of the, your account. So when it looks at your party, it'll remember the each person's maximum fractal depth or how many times you've gone through that loop. And then I think that this is going to call that a level. So for example, if you go through the loop 6 times, you're considered as if you're level 6 in that dungeon. So if you only have like one level 1, level 1, level 2, one level 3, one level 4, level 1, level 6, it's actually going to limit the difficulty of the entire fractal loop to the lowest level as opposed to the highest. So your lowest, the person who's already done it once will be limiting the other guys who are going through that. So the next loop you go through that fractals is going to be level 2 or whatever it is, like the equivalency for his level. So that's the second element that decides the difficulty of the dungeon. The third element that decides the difficulty of the dungeon is that lowest level of fractal depth in terms of that will judge how much agony you experienced whilst going through the fractals. So if you're doing a level 1 version of the dungeon, then you're not going to be experiencing much in the way of agony. But if you're doing like level 6 or whatever, 10, go through that dungeon, then there's going to be a large amount of agony exposed to your party. So it's quite complex if you think about it. So you have But I guess you can kind of distill it down to, hey, this dungeon is going to be more difficult depending on how experienced your party is. The difficulty is going to be reflecting how much agony you're going to experience and how difficult the actual enemy themselves are going to be. I don't think that's going to affect what fractals you experience in your way through. I think those are supposed to be randomized just to make it interesting. So that's pretty much it. It's going to be an infinite dungeon, which is going to get infinitely more difficult, assuming, or have an X amount more difficult the more you do it. Which is kind of cool, I guess. But the...
Yeah. I was going to point out real quick, I don't mean to rain on the parade of how awesome this thing sounds, I believe there is at least one underwater map.
Yeah. I heard rumors of that, but was hoping not.
Well, for me, it's the fact that one of these fractals is going to have a jumping puzzle as part of it. And God damn it, man. I like underwater. I do not like jumping puzzles. Yeah, so...
Oh, and for anybody who is wondering, yes, there is a gift of ascension for the fractal dungeon. Because you get, like, little fractals for every time you finish... Fractal relics for every time you finish it.
Yeah.
And apparently the vendor is already selling a gift of ascension for 500.
Wait, so what...
Yay.
I don't know what a gift of ascension is, just so...
Gifts of anything usually result in, like, needed for legendaries.
Okay. So wait, so it's only 500 tokens for this... gift? I thought it was like 2,000 for the others. Wasn't it?
No, most gifts are 500. Like the gift of battle is 500 badges of honor. Gift of like whatever the one for Ascalon is.
Right.
Each dungeon has one.
Okay.
Tears of whatever.
Yeah, you need 500 of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're going to get... So there's a new legendary, essentially. They've essentially announced a new legendary, at least one.
They have all the necessary prereqs probably for a legendary. You just have to put it together in the forge to find it.
Yeah. So you have this, I guess the final talking point about the dungeon is, aside from its structure, is the agony part, and how that works is as you get higher in levels in the dungeon, agony is going to increase, whether that's by enemies or the native nature of the dungeon itself, and agony is only reducible by ascended gear. So with all that huge info dump I just did, which part do you guys want to talk about? Because I actually think the structure of the dungeon is pretty interesting. As a first talking point, because I don't want to get to the negative yet.
Yeah, like the structure definitely is interesting because, I mean, it encourages replayability probably more than any of the others.
Yeah.
Just because you will keep making more and more progress, especially as you gain more infused gear and can then move further and further and further into it.
Yeah, that's pretty much the idea. And, well, it's kind of cool because... I'm assuming that they will expand upon this by adding more fractals as time goes on. Like, do you guys think that's possible? Because currently the pool is 9. You do 3 per loop.
Yeah.
I could see them going, hey, we've added new
fractals. Right, this could be like the thing that they constantly update.
Yeah.
It's like the very meta kind of thing.
Yeah.
They kind of become its own separate thing. Like, there's...
Yeah.
There's dungeon running.
Like, oh, let's go to Lost Shore to do the updated new thing. It's like the TF2 of Guild Wars 2 dungeon. I don't know. Fuck.
Yeah. Like I said, it's kind of its own other mode. It's almost like this like horde mode of Guild Wars 2 or something.
So it's very much like that because it's kind of cool that you're doing dungeon runs within that dungeon because every time you return to that central area, it says like in there like it's to return to rest and recuperate or whatever. So I assume your party's going to be fully healed and shit. Once you get back to the central area, there might be a repair guy. There might even be a merchant. You never know. Which would be awesome. And then you do those loops, and hopefully those are entertaining in themselves. The idea of a loop being contained into like a very small, like 3 small dungeons, is kind of cool. Especially if they're like Guild Wars 1 events referencing, that could be awesome. Because it's got like the entire conceit of just being in the mist is that they can do stuff like reference back to the Great Wall falling, for example, or the Shining Blade and stuff like that. Like the mantle, the White Mantle could be part of. They could come back. In this, which is, I guess, kind of cool. Like, Noob, would you be interested if there was, like, explicit references to the Fresco Wars in this dungeon?
Yes, just for the sake of, like, oh, man, that's pretty cool kind of thing. Like, I may be just swearing at ArenaNet developers, maybe trying to build a bomb to send to their home because, you know, Spectral Agony, but just for the sake of seeing more of the original Guild Wars. It's just, like,
I mean,
nostalgic kind of thing.
Not for nothing, but it would... fit pretty well to do the last fight in what was it, Prophecy, because I mean you have spectral armor,
right?
It's a fractal in time effectively.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
So they could just be like, hey, let's just redo all of our final bosses from the last game.
And also every second time you go through the loop you fight a fractal boss. I forgot about that. The fractal boss is going to be reflective of the world bosses in Guild Wars 2. So I assume that you'll be fighting the giant, for example. and the big worm, and hopefully the fire elemental will be in there. What do you guys think of that? So, is that worry or excitement?
I think it should be fine. It's just going to be like, you know, a really long fight sort of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I really hope there'll be mini versions of these rather than the full sized. I hope so. Anyway, because then it'll take like an hour if it was like the full fire elemental fight.
Yeah, because like fighting five manning the Shatterer is probably possible. It would just take forever.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool if there's dragon fights in there as well. I guess maybe. I don't know. Depends how it's presented.
Well, through their video, they've hinted like there's a giant serpent like thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Weird face. That's probably one of the giant bosses.
Right.
They released a video and also like this chained astral giant that is probably going to end up being a boss as well. But I don't know. I think it's going to be okay. So long as it's bosses that are like, you know, like last week we talked about Giganticus Lupicus.
Yep.
Those sorts of big fights take forever, high chance of dying, but are still pretty fun.
Right.
But yeah, if it's just like very easy bosses that just have a huge health pool,
mm-hmm.
those will probably not be fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like the world bosses, at least to some extent. Yeah. The idea of increasing rewards as you go through, but increasing agony as you go through, is that interesting to you guys? Do you guys see yourself being part of a group that delves deeper into this dungeon to get those big loot stuff,
mm-hmm.
drops, etc.?
If I have the time, sure.
Because I have no idea.
A good gating mechanic, sort of like, you know, to keep the hardcore PvEers happy and all that. One thing that worries me is. Maybe like, you know, this might not be a problem right away, but people who want to get like, maybe there's only certain rewards 20, you know, runs into it. And unless people have to like set aside how long will it take to get there? Is it going to take like 5 hours of dungeon before you get to that point?
Yeah. But I think, it's kind of, it kind of leads me to my main misgivings with the new format. So, the fact that it'll remember your progress the next time you go in is kind of cool for those guys who have like a set dungeon group and they all know that they're going to be like level 11. So you walk in and you start at level 11 and then you can keep going deeper and deeper into the fractals, right? Which is cool, I guess. The problem is...
It's something for all ages. I mean, levels.
On the one side, I think that's cool. But on the other side, you're going to get to a point where you're just constantly banging your head against the wall.
That's true as well. Unless... you go in with new people, and that's kind of where like the positive and negative comes in, because sure, like, yeah, if it gets to the point where it's so difficult that's going to be like CM explorable mode where there's a room of enemies that are just unkillable, that I assume won't be fun for those guys. I know there's people out there who find that fun, but I don't. That could be one thing, but my main worry is like, hey, we're up to level 11 as a group, we're not going to take you along because you're only at level 2. Therefore, like, you're wasting all of our time, etc. Like, people not just like exclusions.
Well,
happening,
banging your head against the wall, I don't think is quite going to be the problem though, because when you go in, there is a basis for the member with the least progress, like you said.
Yeah.
But you can actually set the difficulty scale based on that person. I think what that basically means is like you can't go higher than what that person did.
Yeah.
But you can definitely drop it lower. To make some progress through rather than beating your head against something that you're not able to actually complete, just so that you can try to get some more of those drops and maybe get some more of that infused gear to be able to eventually move on.
I assume so.
Like, okay.
I have no idea if there's like an actual like dialogue option or whatever to choose your level.
No, there is.
There like, is?
Straight up, there's a thing that comes up that lets you select your difficulty scale level.
Oh, cool. Okay, that kind of... That
it even lets you know what your maximum party difficulty is available is.
So Thurb's problem won't be in effect to a large extent because you won't get to a point where you'll be banging up your head against a wall. But my problem will still be a problem because guys who get left behind are going to get even more left behind with the system. Wouldn't they? Because like if you're
it all depends on the group they're running with, I guess. Like if they're running with people who are like super hardcore exclusionary, then yeah, probably. But I feel like that's already kind of the case even now, because you already have people who are running their – I mean, Shinboy's talked about it before with his group. Like, not to say that he's exclusionary, but he does, like, when they're doing their super serious raiding or dungeon running, he only will bring certain people with him. So I mean, like, I don't think this is going to change anything, really. Like, that already exists in the game, if it's going to exist.
Right. And it would be cool to see if POGs become a bigger thing, because it's accessible by anyone, and it's in Lion's Arch, so it's not like you have to trek there or find that place on the map. I think there'll be more people doing this than most other dungeons, especially given that the drops that we're hearing about from this dungeon seem to be better. Like straight up getting tokens towards ascended gear is actually legitimately better than any other dungeon you could be running at the moment. This is the dungeon to do if you're going to get tokens from doing it.
Well, to some extent. I mean, the ascended gear is, you know, two pieces right now.
It's rings and a back piece, right?
Yeah.
Is that three rings and earrings and back piece, or is it just rings and back piece? I think it's a whole
accessory. I believe it's just rings and back piece.
I'd just used to be surprised if it wasn't the whole set of accessories. I bet you can get all six accessories from this. Because if it's just rings, that means you can only have two accessories and a back piece that'll be changed by this dungeon. And that's not much to aspire towards, is it?
Well, there's one... Actually, no. Maybe not. Never mind.
I mean, it all depends, because like this is kind of the introduction of this new system into the game. They said that, you know, further updates will expand more on the ascended gear and everything. So, right. I mean, you can imagine that like this is basically... This is here to introduce us to this kind of endless dungeon, introduce us to, you know, agony, introduce us to ascended gear. And then, you know, maybe, I mean, we already know there's going to be another update next month. Maybe that's the update where they add, you know, some more ascension gear then.
Right. Yeah. They've said that they're aiming towards a place where you'd eventually be able to get a whole set, top to bottom, armor included, of ascended gear. So I guess there's a point to start talking about my biggest misgiving with this weekend's content. Hey guys, let's talk about ascended gear.
Woo!
Yay!
So this is the gear that's only accessible if you've purchased the digital deluxe, and I'm not going to drop it. Exactly. Fuck you. I refuse to drop this because I lost $20, and it took me this long for me to realize that I have lost $20. Forever. So this $20 gear is never coming back.
Is the way you fight agony, as we talked about before, because... How it works, essentially, you have your new gear. It has what would previously be the upgrade slot built into it. So you'd find that you don't need to put in a red pearl or whatever it is to give yourself a full set of berserkers. If you're getting a berserkers set off this new gear, it'll be built in. So you have the first set of stats, and then you have a second set of stats, which is kind of weird if you think about it. I don't know why they list it that way. Do they list it that way? I think they do. Pretty sure. Anyway, so now you just have like a huge set of stats on this gear. That's first and foremost. And also you have that 10% increase over current exotics in terms of power of this gear. So we are getting a new level of top gear into the game. But finally, you have an infusion slot. So you have your gear, and instead of having a normal upgrade slot, you have an infusion slot, which you put these new upgrade components into, and these upgrade components will give you agony resistance. Is there anything else it does?
I think it's pretty looking. It's like specific name sets, if I recall correctly.
What do you mean?
For example, the ring ascended gear I saw was Yakington's ring.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. So these gears, so Yakington's, if I recall correctly, was actually in the Guild Wars 2 wiki as a specific set, but it seemed like no one had actually gotten it. Right. I was wondering, hey, what does this look like? And I guess it is something completely different. And but
it's important to note that.
I'm hoping they're all sets.
Yes.
Like name sets.
That would be pretty cool.
But you were asking though, Cynic, like if there was anything different that these infusions did.
Yeah, because it sounds like the infusions are...
It sounds like there is.
Yeah, because...
No, well, that's what the original Guild Wars infusions were.
They're introducing specifically three different kinds of infusions for right now. Mm-hmm. There's the offensive, the defensive, and the omni.
Right.
Exactly.
So it sounds like the infusions do something, right? Because some people have the okay, so ascended gear is going to be something we have to talk about in terms of the idea behind introducing a new top tier of gear, right? But aside from that, like the infusion slot itself, some people think that it's only going to be there for putting in stuff that gives you resistance to agony. I strongly don't think that's the case, because from what they've said, it sounds like there's going to be like more stats associated with the new upgrade component, right?
Yeah, well, it sounds like maybe like for right now, maybe all that they're going to be introducing is agony-related stuff.
Yeah.
This idea of the infusions is something they're going to build on with future updates.
Right. So, what do you guys think of infusion? Like, what do you guys think of Ascended Gear? Durin, we had a discussion about this when this was announced earlier this week on Skype.
Yeah.
I've forgotten where you fall on it, because a huge hubbub was raised when they announced this.
I mean, like, I guess, like, I don't hate that they're doing it. It's potentially an interesting idea that I think is just very much in its infancy, so we don't really know how far they're actually maybe planning on going with it.
Right.
But I think where a lot of that hubbub came from was just the sheer fact that they're basically kind of going against what they against the horizontal progression that they claimed Guild Wars 2 would be from the beginning.
Sure. But you start seeing blog posts of, hey, Arena is going back on what they said. They've like given up on their original, like,
yeah, people were kind of mad.
Yeah, like they people posted like that the timestamp from the Guild Wars manifesto, that video they released like earlier last year, with them saying, hey, there's not going to be any more, it's going to be horizontal progression. Like, that's essentially what they're saying in the video. And like the straight up, like,
well,
people have straight up like put in hours and hours and hours getting a full set of exotic gear, and now we're essentially saying that, hey, there's a new tier of gear out there, and your shit's all invalidated. That's kind of
pretty much. I mean, for right now, not all of it is, because it is just those you know, jewelry and back pieces.
Yeah,
but we already know that eventually all of it will be, like, eventually you're not going to be going for exotics anymore. You're going to be going for ascended.
Yeah,
and while I'm hearing that there have been some arena devs who have gone out and said, like, hey, this is the only time we're doing this.
well, okay, so
we'll until see. The next, but next at the same time, like, I think people are kind of, you know, somewhat right, if not maybe, you know, a little entitled, to be so upset about this, because, like, people don't want this to be another WoW. They don't want to, like, you don't come to Guild Wars 2 for fucking, you know, gear progression. You don't want to have to worry about that, like, you know, 6 months from now, all of your gear is fucking invalid, and now you got to go through and grind for each more gear. Again.
So, I think the term being thrown around was power creep. And as a person who isn't familiar with WoW, can you explain to me what that was, what it did to WoW, and, like, what the history is behind what Arena's doing now?
I'm not actually familiar with that term.
Right.
Mostly because I never got super crazy into it. But I think that's that idea, basically, of the biggest flaw, or one of the biggest flaws with horizontal or with vertical progression, is that eventually it gets to a point where like numbers get inflated to a point of kind of ridiculousness. but okay, so Third Blink, the the definition for power creep.
I just looked it up on Wikipedia.
So basically, I guess I'll explain it quickly, because you know, I played WoW for years and I didn't know what this term was either. So maybe some out there don't either.
Hammer of the nail or whatever.
It's basically gradual unbalancing of a game due to the successive releases of new content. It's caused by a number of different factors. In extreme cases, can be damaging to the longevity of the game. Obviously, that didn't happen with WoW, but it can, because it's that same idea of, you know, 6 months from now, all my fucking gear is invalid. Now I gotta go get whole new gear, and then with those gear, like, then this gear has, you know, X number higher of these stats, and then that can cause some imbalance as well. And then in you know, WoW, it got even more complicated, and Guild Wars is treading on this a bit when they started introducing even more stats.
Yeah.
So then you got higher stats, but then you're also introducing new stats that you now need to balance the game around. And that causes even more imbalances where maybe balance was kind of where it should have been before. And it just kind of creates a balance mess where your patch notes are, you know, like are what Blizzards are, where it's just pages of class changes where they're constantly turning and tweaking knobs with these classes, trying to balance them right. Because right. they're trying to balance against so many factors, and those factors are constantly changing.
Yeah, but beyond that, like just in like human terms, time is being wasted. Like people are worried that if they are going to be out there investing in this new set of gear, they're worried that there's going to be Ascended 2.0 like 1 year down the track, and you'd have to get that right. So it's weird because to some extent. I really didn't expect this to happen. Like, I really thought that, hey, they're going to stick with it. Exotics are going to be the maximum. And the fact, like, when you said to me that some arena deads went out there and said, hey, this is the only time we're going to do this, and so on and so forth, I actually believe that. But that's because I think that ArenaNet made this change and introduced Ascended gear with the, like, just, like, not knowing what would happen. I sincerely think they did not think it would be this like big. Like they knew that some people would be angry because that's anytime you change anything, people get angry. But like just the sheer amount of backlash that came from this probably factored into their expectations of whether they're going to introduce like a higher tier of gear later. Like I can definitely see them going, okay, we tried that. Let's not do that again, guys. Let's just stick with this. Let's just stay here. Yeah. Shall we?
Well, and like I said, it's, you know, to some extent, it's okay for people to have reacted the way they did because this announcement of the Ascended gear is basically kind of ArenaNet doubling back on one of the key selling points for a lot of people for Guild Wars 2.
Yeah, pretty much. Like straight up, horizontal progression became a term, really. It became a logic accepted term. When, like, obviously a bunch of free-to-play games have been doing it for a while now, but Guild Wars 2 being the largest MMO to my recent knowledge to really stick there, like, hang their whatever. I'm really bad at these terrible... Anyway,
hang their hats
on horizontal progression. Like, this is kind of...
Well, even beyond a term, I think it became kind of an unofficial bullet point
for this
game.
Yeah, definitely. So
I guess the one thing that has everyone worried and one thing we just need to remember is the way to get these ascended items, anybody at any level, with the exception of level 1, you do level 2, can get access to this dungeon that gets it. I guess the one worry everyone has is how difficult will it be to get these ascended gear versus just doing the dungeon at a higher difficulty for fun.
So Therbs, what was your reaction to Ascended gear? Did you...
As someone who's still trying to climb up the dune to get a full exotic set...
Oh, wow, really?
Knowing that there is another dune past that, I have to start climbing again.
Right.
I am vexed. It is vexing.
It feels
like they've almost invalidated the point of exotics.
Yes.
Because I'm assuming, like, if it's a halfway point, it's probably closer to exotic than it is to legendary in terms of, like, how far it's going to be away.
No, legendaries are going to be ascended. That's their current set. Looking at the base stats, so people don't know
out there. No. I mean, like, in difficulty to obtain.
Oh,
like,
right.
It's
going
to be closer to exotic.
Oh, okay.
So at this point, like, why the hell are you going to even go bother for exotic when you can just go for, what is it called?
Ascended. Yeah,
and they've almost invalidated.
I wonder if that's maybe why they're introducing it the way they are. Where it's like, well, right now we're introducing jewelry and back piece, and then maybe with the next update they'll just say, well, now we're introducing pants and shoulders.
Right.
And the next one will be, you know, basically they're just kind of slowly putting it out there so that for the time being, at least until the full set is available, there's still reason to get that exotic gear because it's going to make it easier to get that ascended.
And
gear.
I think they're going to go for ascended as like pretty hard to get. Like exotic, you're definitely going to want to get exotic first, and once you've had exotic for a bit, it's going to come before legendary, but at the same time it is still a sizable distance away.
So you're saying it's going to be like stopping at greens is at the moment, like people stop at green and then skip yellow to a large extent and get exotic.
They don't want that happening, so they're probably going to put exotics or ascended a lot further away, but at the same time, it's not legendary level. So I don't think they want to screw up exotics because
it's kind of weird. So they've announced that they want to release, they want to have exotics with infusion slots. So maybe that does lend weight to your argument, because, for example, if if only ascended gear has infusion slots, then you need that to get deep into the fractal dungeon, right?
Right.
But if they actually start backdating it and going, hey, some exotics have infusion slots, so be able to get that tier of item with infusions and therefore go deep into the fractal, fractals of the mists, then yeah, I can see your argument being valid to some extent. But at the same time, they've also said that you can get this ascended gear, as Thurbleton said, by completing this dungeon. So
yeah,
it's almost like democratizing the highest level of gear, which is weird.
And then something else to remember is it's going to have a marginal effect on, if you do, 7 out of the 10 dungeons or whatever, mm-hmm. or 6 out of the 8, because you're going to get scaled down in level. And so I'm going to be 1% different from the other, if I'm in all exotics and he's in all ascended,
yeah.
we're going to be slightly different at level 35.
Right.
It's not going to affect structured PvP because it's a whole different gear
yep.
thing.
Yep.
And world versus world, how often are you in a 1v1 in world versus world?
You shouldn't be. If you're doing it, you're doing it wrong. God damn it. At least that's how I used to play world versus world.
Yeah. So it's I'm not too worried about any of that.
That's definitely true.
Do you guys not like ascended gear? Just you think it's a bad idea, or do you like it overall, the concept of it?
I think
the concept of it I'm okay with.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be a bad idea.
A really empty area that I actually think is a good idea, because for someone like me who it's going to be really hard to attain legendary. Mm-hmm. I don't even see it as a goal.
Yeah, but same.
A full set of ascended is completely a possible goal. That's something I can actually work towards. And for people who don't play as often and don't expect to ever get legendaries, ascended is definitely a more workable goal compared to legendaries.
My worry is. Oh, go ahead, Tinnick.
Mine might take us in a different direction. So, what's yours?
Mine was just what is the focus of Arena going to be for future development? Are they going to put exotics, just throw them on the table and just keep focusing on making new ascended gear or new artwork for that? Because if there's only one set of ascended,
right,
I'm more or less okay with it, because we're just going to get that and then keep striving for exotics and dungeons and all that for the cosmetic reward.
Right.
Then just backtrack and use transmutation things from the gem store.
wink, wink. I don't know, they make it sound like it's hard to say at this point, because they haven't released too much in terms of just in general discussion about ascended gear. When they first posted their big announcement about ascended gear, and I feel really sorry for the chick who did it, because she became I've forgotten her name, but she became the banner girl for this new inverted commas downward trend for Guild Wars 2.
Lindsay Verdock, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
what a whore!
I hate that. Straight up, people were calling her out in the forums and laying it all at her feet.
It's her fault. She designed all of this, of it.
She did design some of it, but yeah. Anyway, so I think that they strongly intend for their to have a tier of items as ascended, and I bet there's going to be multiple armor sets at that level. With exotic being a level below that. I actually do think they're going to roll this out and be a full tier of gear. You're never going to be able to, in my opinion, kill a monster and get an ascended gear, a piece of ascended armor, for example. I think they'll stop it there. I think you'll always have to work towards getting something, either by tokens or by Mystic Forge recipes or whatever that's the case, to get ascended. And I think that's kind of the differentiator there, right? Because exotic, there's so many ways of getting exotic. You can craft exotics, you can Mystic Forge exotics, you can find exotics. And you can get them by tokens. What's the prestige of having exotic gear aside from knowing that you have the highest stats in the game? It's kind of impactful that they do have a prestigious level of gear, right? Isn't that kind of, I think that's the idea of why they introduced this new set to some extent. Not to apologize for them, because I think it's as a person who just got a full set of exotic gear, I'm not particularly happy that one, like, no. 6 months down the line, I'm going to have to wait.
But
to...
for someone like me with a full set of rare and no prospects for legendary, like, that's great. This is great news.
Exactly.
Well, and like you mentioned earlier, Cynic, like, one worry is the fact that, like, in order to get the ascended gear, like, you have to run the fractal dungeon. Mm-hmm. Like, that's true for right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, I believe they even said, like, you know, dungeons going forward will have ascended gear. The worry is, I really hope that they, before long, you know, once they've kind of expanded the ascended gear library, I guess, is that they go back and retroactively add that stuff to the current dungeon list. Because otherwise, those dungeons are going to be mostly obsolete.
If not the Ascended Gear itself, I could definitely see them adding the components for Mystic Forging, the Ascended Gear,
to all
current dungeons. Yeah, I can definitely see that being...
They're going to have to, otherwise they're basically kind of running into the same problem that a vertical progression MMO does when they launch, say, like an expansion.
Right, exactly.
Where all that previous content is just obsolete.
Yeah, so unless you, like, really want that skin... like, for some reason, off those dungeons, like, I don't actually really like any of the dungeon gear at the moment, in terms of skin for heavy armor, human male. But unless you really want that skin, like, there's no reason to do that at dungeons, unless they backtrace it, which I think they will. Like, it's going to be interesting seeing how they progress forward with this, but I think, at least to that extent, looking at what they did with the legendary, the changes to legendary drop rates and that kind of stuff, I can see it being backdated. That'll happen. Probably.
I think the most important thing ArenaNet needs to look out for is how far they're going to place it down the progression track. Like, if they place it too close to exotics, then they're going to have the dilemma of nullifying exotics, maybe even rares,
and making just a two-step
jump. Right. Because for all we know, this could be a terrible, like, masterwork to ascended gear jump.
So I just got my full set of exotic, like, armor, but I don't have exotic like accessories, right? But the fact that you can get ascended accessories from doing this dungeon means I don't think I'll ever get exotic accessories unless I find them. So that's already happened to some extent. Like, if their idea of getting ascended gear is putting in effort and getting the gear as a result rather than having to grind for, like, gold or whatever to get exotics like you do have to at the moment, I can already see it being the case that a bunch of people skip exotics. But do you mind that? I actually kind of find it a good thing that there's, like, an alternate route to a top level gear item.
Well, it's not an alternate route, it's just simply skipping.
Yeah.
I think it nullifies a lot of stuff, especially just, like, things like, oh, I'm working towards this exotic. No, you're not. You're working toward ascended gear now. I feel like it feels like you've wiped out a lot of progress people have made.
Yes, it's like it's Thurbleton's statement of he was getting over this sandhill and then he found out there's another one just behind it. And it was like, ugh.
Like, which might be harder to climb. It's all placement. It's the correlation of forces.
I actually don't mind placement too much. I'm more worried about the difference in power between this ascended gear and exotics. I hope that difference is small. But it doesn't.
I don't think it can be big, considering it's going to be halfway between legendary and exotic, which is already pretty small.
It seems like just a 10% upgrade.
Given one of the descriptions they showed, it's very small. Like, they're showing a ring that the exotic would have 48 power, 48 precision, 3% magic find. The ascended would have 50 power, 50 precision, and 10% magic find.
No, there's a second set of stats there, isn't there? You're...
The second set of stats is basically what replaces your current.
Jewel. Like
sigil or rune.
Jewel, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the question, right? What will the infused item, whatever you call them, gonna have? What's it gonna have on it?
I feel like it's gonna be absolutely minimal. Extra damage against stats? Whatever does.
I'm hoping it's not stats. I think
it's gonna be special for that specific dungeon. I feel like that's
what I'm afraid of. Like, with their whole thing with the agony and that being tied to these infusions, and they're potentially are going to be eventually, you know, more types of infusions later on. They've said they're currently launching with these, which implies more later on. it feels scarily reminiscent of resistance gear stacking in old school WoW.
Right.
Where, so like, in order to run this dungeon, you had to go and get gear that had, you know, fire resist in order to have X number of fire resist.
That's exactly
in order
what
to make it
like
through that
so
dungeon. Yeah, and what the biggest problem with that is all the gear that you have been working towards and that you need for pretty much everything else in the game is fucking null and void in order to actually
run this dungeon. But I feel like these infusions are something you could replace really easily with other infusions. I wouldn't be surprised if these are swap in, swap out infusions that are very simple.
So, well, what would it be like then?
Complete a small quest. I don't know.
I mean, the actual item itself. Because I'm worried that. So if you look at the actual base stats given to you by an ascended item versus an exotic, as we said before, it's like 10% difference, right? But when you actually consider the fact that there's going to be offensive, omni, and defensive infusions, what could that mean? Like, what does that actually
mean?
I'm
assuming omni is middle ground between defense and offense. Defense.
Really? What? Yeah, exactly. What does defense mean? Is it going to actually just give you fucking toughness? Agony. Like, is this going to go?
I wouldn't be surprised if it really just is defend against agony. Well, offense
then what's
is
offense
extra
then?
Damage against Morset.
Oh God, really? Something as simple as that? Yeah.
Something as simple, because I highly doubt they want to make these things overpowered. Because
I really hope so. I actually hope you're right. I hope it's like this. Like the offensive has less agony resistance than the defensive, but gives you a bonus of in damage in that dungeon at higher levels of that dungeon.
Like
that could be.
Honestly hoping they take the Lost Shore dungeon thing into its own thing. So it's like, oh, you have PvP, and then you have the special dungeon, the Lost Shore dungeon, where Lost Dead.
You would have your dungeon gear, and then you would have your Lost Shore gear.
Well, you wouldn't need to because of Ascended.
No,
because
of
Ascended, and it's an entirely different
Ascended,
slot.
Yeah, because
to some extent, assuming the infusion stuff is easily swappable.
Considering how they've already made everything regarding stuff like that pretty simple to swap out, I wouldn't be surprised if they did that.
It's not simple to swap out. At the moment, you destroy your current one to put in a new one.
That seems simple enough. It's not very effective. Like
it's pretty simple.
Keep buying to replace.
I don't think infusions are going to be expensive if agony is going to play a big role in those dungeons. If agony plays a big role, I doubt they're going to make infusion too expensive.
Because they've already said that the infusions in themselves. So Ascended is going to be a tier of gear, and that's going to be a set distance from exotics in terms of its stats. The stats it confers towards you. But they've said that the actual infusions themselves are going to be their entirely own progression. There's going to be more powerful infusions than weaker infusions.
Yeah, like one of the last sentences they say in the future item progression section of the update that she put out for this was that eventually you'll be able to kit yourself out with a full set of ascended gear and high-end infusions to help you with the edge in game content.
Yeah, exactly.
I think ArenaNet wants to maintain that balance of having that but not affecting just PvE gameplay in general. I think they really want to – I believe, whatever my opinion is worth, probably very little, but that I think they want to make some sort of its own closed environment where you fuck around in this but it doesn't really affect the outside world that much.
I don't think that's the case given that last bit where she says, to give you the edge in game content.
Yeah.
It sounds like maybe what their intention instead is.
Wait, was she referring to the infusion or the gear in general?
She was referring to it as a whole. She said eventually you'll be able to kit yourself out with a full set of ascended gear and high-end infusions to help give you the edge in in-game content.
I'm assuming that's just because your gear is simply better than everything else.
Well, I think what their intention with the ascended gear and kind of with the infusions along with that is and I think that the issue is that their intention is sound, but maybe misguided. Mm-hmm. That their intention for Ascended is to have it be kind of like we said before, kind of a prestige gear.
Yeah.
Gear that is slightly better than the gear that's currently out there, mm-hmm. But also, harder to get.
Yeah.
A reasonable goal gear.
But unnecessary to do the end game content, possibly with the exception of, you know, getting further into the Lost Shore stuff because of the need of the infusions for the agony stuff.
Yeah.
But aside from that one type of dungeon, it sounds like their intention is for it to be optional, and you can go for this gear if you want to. If you don't want to go for the insane, crazy, legendary, but you want something higher than exotics. And that's, like I said, that's not a terrible idea. But, you know, if you know MMO players, fucking everybody's going to want to get it because you want the best gear.
Exactly. It's not, it doesn't become an option. It's not like if you want the best gear. It is people want the best gear. Like legendaries are still an option because they're equivalent to ascended, not because they're just like crazy hard to get. People are just going to aim for the best gear no matter what it is. And if that's ascended, they're going to go for ascended, like straight up.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I guess we're kind of talking around in circles now, but my main concern is, hey, I really hope these infusions aren't like, hey, you get plus 50 power. It better not be that case. If it's stuff like you do 30% more damage in this dungeon, that's okay. Right. That's all right. Sure.
Maybe the dungeon will add its own mechanics since it's all special and stuff like that, and maybe it plays into that. Who knows?
Well, I think
that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid they're going to add like all these new dungeons are going to add their own mechanic that is going to be something that is obtainable. You know, the counter to it is obtainable through infusions, and so then you got to have your infusion set for this dungeon. You got to have your infusion set for that dungeon, and it's going to become a fucking mess of swapping out shit.
It brings back to another reason a lot of people were pissed, because a lot of people were pissed aside from the fact that Arena has pretty much based their shit upon horizontal progression. A lot of people are pointing out the fact that, hey, Arena has always said that what matters in Guild Wars 2 is skill, not gear, but then immediately turn around and put in a thing that's not overcomable by skill, but requires gear to overcome. That is a bit off in a lot of people's eyes.
Yeah, that's actually very off.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, they've always de-emphasized gear as being more of, I mean, the whole point of gear in Guild Wars 2 up to this point is, you know, once you hit 80, is really just kind of cosmetic.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. That's why, you know, like legendaries, they're, you know, this ridiculously hard thing to get.
Yeah.
You gain nothing from it except for the cosmetic aspect of it.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, with the introduction of the agony mechanic and the infusions, you're now you're basically putting gear checks.
Exactly.
In your dungeon.
Absolutely. Now. Because they've specifically said that it'll get to the point in the Fractals of the Mist that you will not be able to progress without better, like, agony diffusing gear. And that's stupid. That's stupid. But I guess a lot of it came from, because the justification for this, and I think this would be our last talking point on the subject, is that they did this because of feedback from players. They did this because people thought that dungeons could be more difficult, or like they wanted more challenges, I guess.
Which is true. Remember that big complaint about, we're like gimping dungeons because people are complaining about it. Exactly. And this is, I guess, what came out of it. And this is a hardcore dungeon.
Yeah. And they made a difficult dungeon for people to bash their heads against, which is fine. Yeah. But they also apparently like received all this feedback of players going, hey, there's no gear progression at endgame. And that's why they're doing this. Like, what do you guys think of that? Do you think that this is like they should have stuck with their guns and displeased all those people and never had any form of endgame progression gear? Like noobs says, because
that was not what this game was supposed to be.
True, to some extent. Exactly. That's like the two sides of the argument. Noob's argument of, hey, if this only affects progression in this specific dungeon, it kind of appeases those people, is correct to some extent. But Durin's counterpoint of, hey, what if other dungeons also have their unique mechanics that you also have to get this crazy shit for? Like, that isn't... It's essentially the slippery slope argument. Like, is this going to be a slippery slope?
I feel like this dungeon's going to be accessible because, according to whatever else they've shown in this game, it's a very accessible game regardless of what gear you have.
Right.
And sure, you might have to infuse stuff, but I don't think they're going to go over the top saying like, you have to spend hundreds of hours finding these crazy infused gears to play this dungeon. I just don't think that's something they would do.
Durin?
I don't know. I hate to speculate any further just because I want to hope that that's that that's not the direction that they go.
Yep.
I want to have faith that they know what they're doing, and that that maybe this this whole agony thing is just kind of a one-off experiment that they're doing, that, you know, when and if players don't respond necessarily, or I guess it's already happened, players haven't responded as positively as maybe they would have liked, that, you know, maybe they'll just keep that to this. And kind of like we said earlier, maybe, you know, make Lost Shores kind of its own other mode outside of normal dungeoneering, and, you know, maybe have further dungeons be, I hesitate to say more standard because that just sounds boring, but more in line with what makes Guild Wars 2 Guild Wars 2.
Right. Which is not what they're doing here. At least not from what we've seen at the moment. Thurbleton, any reactions?
I think that it's the agony mechanic is okay as long as it stays in the dungeon, much like you guys have said.
And doesn't intrude into my other shit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't come in world v. world.
Well, it's like, hey, we've added a whole another dungeon. That it's like, spoilers, it's got more agony.
Yay.
But no, it's I'm okay, and I think it's a great idea that they have, like, this, you know, a couple months from now, we'll have, you know, a dozen options instead of just, like, the nine. Right. They just keep adding more things to do in that.
Assuming
keep that fun
and hoping
fresh.
That they do that. I hope that they do.
Yeah.
We don't know if they will. Yeah.
But that being said, I really would like to see, in the long term, I guess, Arenet stick to their guns. And it is a tougher path to follow, but making the focus more on art design instead of just gear progression and adding, yeah, like, you know, and it's, like you said, Ascension 2.0.
Yeah.
It's, I would so just like to see that more, yeah, than just gear.
Wait and see. I'm just wondering, like, how different would it be? Like, how different would the reaction to this entire thing be if it became, if ascended gear inverted commas wasn't, like, was replaced by, like, one of the idea I had in the long past was, hey, imagine if dyes could glow, right? That was something I said before Gear Wars 2 come out, right?
Glowing gear.
Yeah. How cool would it be if instead of this entire ascended gear bullshit, if they just had, like, this new set of dyes that gave you resistance to agony, that made you cooler progressions of dyes. Like, the dyes looked awesome.
No, see, the problem you're gonna have with that is that unless you had every single color that is currently available, but in a glowing,
A cool effect, version of it, like a crazy,
like, unless you did
animated
that, you're
version
end up
of it
with fucking clown suits of WoW.
Yeah, but what if they just straight up took the current gear and, like, gave it a cool effect, like the equivalent of the molten armor effect given to you by that hammer, like some cool effect on that gear, on that item, which also gives you resistances to.
That's
how I would have assumed.
The problem with that is that kind of overlaps with the legendary, like, what's cool about the legendary gear a lot of times. Like, that's yeah, where your kind of cool effects and animations and stuff are going to really be, I think, going forward.
Yeah. I mean, have you, Cynic, have you read the names of all of the sets that I'm assuming are going to be ascended?
No, I have not.
Let me just Google this, but you could go on. I'll find it.
But either way, like, it's going to be interesting seeing this going forward. Trepidation says, I'm taking the same wait and see approach as pretty much the rest of the guys. I'm not going to say the world is ending yet. But then again, like, Guild Wars 2 is Guild Wars 2. I've already gotten hundreds of hours worth of fun from it. I don't mind to see, like, it's a free to play game. I don't mind to see them experiment. I'm interested to see, like, this experiment clearly, in my opinion, failed to a large extent.
Okay, never mind. Apparently these are actually confirmed for exotic. I don't know why they named that Yakington's Ring when they have exotic Yakington's armor. Never mind.
I just want to see them experiment more and see where they go with this. I hope their next one is a little bit less player intrusive, but we'll see.
I think it's completely, it's going to be completely based on how well they balance this out.
Yeah.
Like, if they off-balance this is going to fuck everything up, yeah, because
they're on the entire progression of armor with this specific
but
thing.
But I don't know.
Would you guys like to see
Guild Wars 2 for good, or ArenaNet for pretty good balancing, just in general, PvP, PvE-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I just, based off my history with WoW, they would do this, but, like, before the patch would come out, they would offer testing and all that, sort of just like pre-patch server. Mm-hmm. Would you like to see something like that for ArenaNet, or
just like
that may put some of the community's, you know, concerns to rest if we could see this before it was out? and put our
But the problem with that is if they just complain just for the sake of complaining.
Yeah, this is the internet. There is a small group that is very vocal that purely just wants to complain because they don't get things their way.
Yeah. I would – it also ruins it to some extent. Like it ruins the surprise of a lot of – like I know that like for the WoW stuff, you can't – like a lot of people can't speak about the stuff they see in those preview servers, right? There's NDAs.
Oh, no. We're talking about PT.
Public test realm.
Public test realm.
Oh, okay.
Where you can basically go in and it's a sort of a beta test of the upcoming patch.
But so people who are on those public test realms can speak about what they're seeing there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So everybody has access to it.
So that kind of – so that's what I'm I wouldn't want to see that because to me, I'm logging on this weekend and probably going to play more this weekend than I have for the past couple of weeks because this is like new stuff I haven't heard of before, I haven't seen before, and so, stuff like I haven't – like stuff that's going to be new to everyone involved. And that's going to – that's you're going to lose that if you have a public test servers, right? I would love to see them I would love to see them have closed test servers more because I think that a lot of this would have been assuaged if they did go to like the top dungeoneers out there. And
oh, it should be for the people who spent extra $20 and got nothing out of it, those public beta tests or private beta tests.
So like just like literally just take more fan feedback into their decisions.
But I don't think they should make it public just because people are dicks.
because the internet, that's why.
But I would love to see a public beta server for PvP changes. Cause looking at this like this patch list for the class changes, I can't wait to delve into this, and I obviously won't do it on air. But I can't wait to see what these changes do for PvP going forward. And it would be better to me if they didn't make this huge a fucking shift at this time, as opposed to making more smaller changes to the meta. But anyway, I think the last thing we want to talk about today, it's probably going to be a quick one because we're already at 2 hours. Oh, we can spend as much time as we want, I guess.
I'm going to go before much longer.
I need to get to sleep soon too for work.
What do you guys think of now that we've seen some of it? The Lost Shore. What do you guys think of the trailer for the Lost Shore's PvE content?
I haven't seen it.
Is that the
one with the monster? Cool.
The only one I saw was the
it's not zombies.
It's not zombies. That's
one improvement.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I'm out then. I mean,
It's the one with the monster jumping out of the ocean and all that shit. Let's see if I can.
Where
find
can
it.
I find this trailer? Someone link it.
To I did see that one.
Yeah, I'll link it to you. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see.
So a giraffe walks into a bar and he sees a lion. What does he say to the lion?
Hello?
I'm a giraffe.
Ah, you guys are fucking
funny. Well, no, we just know your sense of humor, so go with whatever is the least funny thing. And What were you going to say, noob?
I was going to try to think about an answer, but I realized that joke would go nowhere.
So yeah, that's the other option.
God damn it. So,
but anyway, yeah, they have a lot of events that are there's the one time, you know, only going to happen once in the world, but there's also a lot of for Friday the 16th as well as the 17th. There's like it's going to happen once, but it's going to be a day long event sort of thing,
right?
And these look like head crabs. Oh my god!
Yeah, but beyond that, I kind of reacting with noob. Like they've made a lot of new entire new enemy designs, like straight up new character models for all, like a bunch of the enemies I'm seeing in this trailer. That's kind of cool. I'm actually kind of surprised by that. They made it like a whole new
continent.
I hope
this gameplay is more on the shore and less in the water. I genuinely hope that because
for your sake, it's all in the water.
Yeah, I hope it's all underwater. And also,
Have
you gotten part of the trailer where the big enemy jumps out of the water yet, noob?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, I finished.
I think he looks dumb.
He does look dumb. Oh god, this is not from. I feel like this is something out of a movie. I don't know. It reminds me of something very familiar.
What the thing coming out of the water?
The thing that came out of the water.
So okay, I'm watching through this trailer again.
Yeah.
For the second time, and this is something I've seen in games quite a bit. This, yeah, I guess generation. Even though we're talking PC games here.
Yep.
So like to game developers, even though none of them are listening. If you're going to make a trailer for your game, maybe don't pick clips that have fucking enemies or body parts or anything clipping through each other like it's a fucking video game.
You know, you know what's like Paradox probably makes the best trailers for Hearts of Iron 3 and Victoria 2. It's menus. It's literally menus.
Well, I mean, that's what that game
is. And for Finest Hour, they opened up like a drawing app and they drew over the map. That was literally the trailer. And I love those trailers. I think ArenaNet should just dive into menus.
But yeah, so during what are your reactions?
Just open up the map and look at Lost Shore. That's
I think the new enemies designs look dumb, but I think it's
cool. They look like something out of a sci-fi game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's clearly a, you know, marine based thing. So the enemies make like sense for that.
Those designs are completely unique. The Guild Wars 2, like the current game stuff, seems like a lot of stuff coming back from the original Guild Wars assets or just like designs in general.
Yeah.
This seems like a huge departure from what other Guild Wars stuff has been. Like those little things, those are clearly from Half-Life 2. They got lost.
Well, I was going to say, at the same time, you're also fighting giant crabs. So that's not really unique. Maybe unique compared to Guild Wars 1, but...
Yeah.
But final
they're
bosses.
They're not terrible. They make sense thematically with what's going on.
Yeah.
They're not terrible looking. They're maybe uninspired. But...
The fact that they can make
like,
them...
I don't like to judge content based on the trailer because the trailers...
Oh, yeah, definitely not.
Are rarely like they rarely have anything to do with the actual content. They're just they're trying to make it look way more exciting than it's actually going to be.
In Hearts of Iron 3, where it doesn't look much more exciting than it's going to be.
In general, I can say that like, are you going to like delve into this new PvE content? Going to explore all of it you can, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh yeah.
Definitely.
I'm gonna do some of it, but I don't think I have. I think I have one exotic right now.
So jeez, guys, the hell?
I have two exotics.
Okay,
wrong. I have one exotic too.
So for anybody listening who doesn't know, Cynic only has a full set of exotics because he spent real money on them.
Fuck yeah!
Otherwise, he'd be in the same position that I am. Actually, he would be in the worst position.
At least I had
any pieces.
I had the integrity to not like.
I had one exotic.
Your cash, basically, what you did.
You had one, okay.
And I just
so I looked at the game. Well, we discussed this on the podcast. I was like, "Hey, gem price has gone up. I'm going to do that," and I totally did. Like, people that are out there, I totally went out. Like, fuck it, I'm just going to buy.
What the hell, guys?
My end game gear, $20. That was a good $20 spent because I don't have to worry.
You
about
also buy your armor for a while. And your shoulder.
Now I will say, I do have all my pieces picked out.
Yeah.
I just it's going to require a lot of runs because I'm picky. And they come from many different places.
Oh, are you doing dungeons? Because I'm looking at dungeon armor too.
I mean, my gear is more or less set. I'll just like I'll finish getting like exotic stats and then transmute it back to what I'm looking at.
Right.
Tell me what you're doing. So
I am looking for like a dawn, but that is just a wishful dream.
Durin, you are actually incorrect. I forged my gear. Well, no, I didn't, but I had my box of draconic armor from before.
Yeah, bullshit.
Box of draconic armor is something I spent money on a long time ago. That money I got by actually playing the game. So the stats came from me actually playing. The skin came from me paying money. That was fun.
How much did you pay?
Okay. $20 gave me, what was it, like 9 gold or whatever at the time.
That's a lot of gold.
I just spent that on it, just skins for my shit.
How do you spend 9 after you spent that much on gold?
The only new set of stats I got was on my sword. I finally got an exotic sword.
To be fair, you spent $20 and you got something you would use. I spent $20 and I got two costumes. So I guess I can't really
Costume brawls.
Yeah, costume brawls. Plays costume brawl with me. I initiate a fight and they just stand there in regular
armor. Oh, I do all the time. Fuck you. Like, if we're standing around waiting to go into a dungeon, I'll go hop over to my witch outfit and start beating up.
You bought costumes too? Which costumes do you have?
Just the witch one.
Oh, I got the witch one and the...
mostly because the broom riding is fucking awesome.
No, the best thing is you can interchange costumes. So I have a broom on my Mad King Thorn and Mad King Thorn
riding. Oh, that'd be great. I didn't think about that.
Great.
No, the witch is nice, though, because you can just drop a cauldron and give somebody a costume so they can get something fun, too, so you can fight.
Anyway, and with that... I guess we can say...
Someone without costumes joining the conversation.
See,
how about you get the fuck
in
out?
In the Lost Shores...
Anyone
got
shores.
Any plugs?
Once we get there, it's Found Shores.
New Brown,
plug? I would like to plug Thigh Crushing Adorable or something. I don't remember the guild name, but I something.
DFC?
Application, cover letter, resume, what else? Interview, something blood like type. That.
Do not, blood type. Do not go
and
to the...
delicious flat chest. The angle of your chest, please. put a protractor on your chest and just tell me what the angle you get is. But
I'm surprised you're just asking for that and not pictures.
Pictures, it's a little bit tough because I'm on the watch list for my ISP and I don't really want to do anything that gets me arrested again. Gotcha. But they can't prove anything because, they're drawings.
Durin, any little bug this week?
Oh my god. I don't know that this will go up before then, but Friday night is totally going to be fucking karaoke night again.
Oh good. That's cool. Apple.
I know Shinboy already has Queen lined up for kind of starting things off for the night, so it can only,
Oh god.
It can only be amazing, basically.
I was surprised when I heard you guys didn't do Queen last time. I think he was.
Yeah, well. He didn't think about it, and I was like, oh my god. That'll be fun. There will be some drunk people in there, so that should be a real good time.
Yay.
And I will most likely, I'd be very surprised if I wasn't streaming it. So if you want to check that out, just go to my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Durin.
Yay.
Aside from that, we are going to, I need to talk with Thurb a little bit more after the podcast. But we both are definitely expressing interest in wanting to do some kind of a structured PvP night with the guild.
Finally.
So we need to set that up.
Yeah.
So as soon as we have more concrete details, we'll share that as well.
Yay. That should happen. That should definitely happen. I'll be there. Or I'll try to be there because it's going to be American time, right? I might not be able to make it. We'll see. We'll see. Aside from that, Thurbleton, any plugs?
Yeah, I got a few. A shout out to Rayos. When you're talking about just like, silly looking armor and all that for a human, silly looking armor is a char in Silvari gear. Because he looks silly and it's awesome.
Fabulous.
Yes, he looks fabulous.
Was that the guy with like the full-on decked out rainbow colored?
He has I believe Twilight Arbor set with the shoulders that like go off like spikes from some crazy fairy tale.
That was pretty good.
Plus char and a dress is just awesome. Absolutely. Anyway, also a heads up, it's for this weekend, the Lost Wars weekend, we are changing from doing there shouldn't be any structured PvP, or not structured, world versus world things going on. Instead, we're just going to focus on the new content as well as trying to get as many people through story dungeons as they can.
Oh, cool.
So let's hop on, shout out that you're trying to get a group together, and hopefully the Lincoln Force community will get everyone through those stories.
God, they're kind of jerks.
Awesome, because I've got a lot of stories to get through.
Yeah, just because they're fun and all that.
Oh, Cynic, we have to do the story missions.
Oh, yeah,
we have to find subs.
A quick heads up that this is just a rumor mill, heard it through the grapevine, but apparently guesting is on the spoke. Whenever they asked, people asked the devs, they said they couldn't give a time, but said like either very soon or in the next few, like next week or so.
The hell is the internet very soon? I think that's...
Wait, did you say next week or so? Years.
Well, yeah, like this week they would say next week or the week after sort of thing. They can't give a correct date, but apparently that is supposed to be coming very, very soon, like this month.
I'm super excited for that. I've got friends, I've said before, I've got friends playing on another server. That'd and cool. That would be so awesome to actually be able to play together.
Yeah, and we can reunite with Maystack and stuff. So.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun, finally.
Yay.
and I guess one last thing.
A lot of fun, finally.
One last thing is, I doubt he listens to this, but the dev we spoke to a couple weeks ago, Josh, who basically created the Lionsar statue and the famed Halloween jumping puzzle.
Yep.
Apparently he had to... basically apologized to everybody for making that thing over the I didn't have any issues with it, but apparently some people like Riven did. I don't know.
Oh, really? I'm surprised. Yeah. I'm totally surprised.
For making the jumping puzzle.
The jumping puzzle.
Yeah, the jumping puzzle rage. He had to apologize
for that.
Is
he the guy that was supposed to be on the podcast?
So yeah, I guess I should go ahead and point out, because at this point I think we're pretty safe to know it's not going to happen. We had talks with, there's some communications back and forth with Josh. We were hoping to have him on the podcast. We were hoping like around the time that the Halloween event was going on, because he was involved in all of that. But Unfortunately, as a lot of you listeners might know, we sometimes say some vulgar things on this podcast.
We're pretty raw.
We are a bit raw. Raw meat. The last communication that we got back from him was that he was totally down with doing the show, but PR needed to vet our podcast.
I don't think that's going to happen.
And that was about 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, you're not a PR-friendly podcast. No.
And pretty much as soon as we received that email, we knew that it was probably not going to happen.
It's because Durin's on this podcast.
Yeah.
But anyway, if you see him in-game, his handle's Scribe, just, you know, tell a story that's hopefully nice about, like, you know, the puzzle or something.
Is there a nice story about the puzzle?
I mean, I had fun with it. There was this awesome time where this guy threw a mouse and we all laughed.
Oh, yeah. There was. Okay. That was a good story.
I never got to the top of that.
Or the time where he threw a mouse and then everyone laughed. And then
happy,
I still finished.
Happy go lucky me. I just go my way.
I did want to. I was actually going
to. Oh, go ahead. Please don't. I was going to sing a song.
I was actually going to. Ask you this off air before we started the podcast, but I feel like we definitely need to cover it before we end this show. So next week is Thanksgiving. We typically record these
in America,
like Friday, Saturday night.
Yeah.
Are we still on for recording next week, or are we taking the Thanksgiving weekend off?
Well, I don't have Thanksgiving because I had Thanksgiving in October.
Yeah, we don't know about have Thanksgiving, so I don't know. It's up to you.
Yeah, okay, there's this the thing called Black Friday that basically, you know, nullifies me from doing anything fun with or without, like, you know, with family or with friends.
Right. Gotcha. No, we'll see if we can do something.
That's when we can do the anime cast.
Yeah, we will do something next week. Cast. Something will happen.
Okay.
Something off topic will happen, and probably
maybe off topic, maybe on topic. We'll see. Probably off topic. I don't know. Then we are definitely doing another episode of the Scotch Cast. That's gonna happen. That's gonna be recording later this weekend, and probably be up by Monday. So those waiting for the Giant Bomb cast will probably be there to help you wait. Aside from that. You can contact us at thelinkingcast@gmail.com.
Worrying, don't agree. Things that bother you.
Or at thelinkingcast on Twitter. Do not go to the Linkingcast Facebook page because that is New Baroque Playground.
No. Wait. I'm going to stop right here. You have to. Okay. So www.facebook.com/thelinkingcast. This is where you can send me all of your deepest, darkest secrets, your address, your social security number, anything, because I am willing to listen.
So we need to do this podcast where we're all in the same room. So we can just cut his mic.
Well, I'm secretly like
using
it
an impossibility
slash not really secretly since I've said it out loud now as like an interesting public experiment to see who the fuck even remotely
gives a shit about PAX Australia, right?
Oh god, PAX Australia. Oh, that's oh god. I'm not. I don't know if I'll be able to.
Oh right, we got an invitation to Guild Wars Con where we get a panel. Right, guys?
No.
Right? No.
That would be the worst idea anybody could ever do.
Anyway,
to give us a panel.
That was episode 29. Thank you for listening.
You never bother me. I feel happy and fine. Aha! Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time.
I'm just going to let this play out. Go, keep going. I'm just going to let you play. I'm just going to fade
you
out.
Not a lot. I don't need a lot. Coffee's only a dime. Living in the sunlight, loving in the moonlight, having a wonderful time. Okay. That's all I got.